What's poppin'? We're live in the DealsNadie.com studios and on Facebook. Always like us on Facebook. Would somebody please get us to 15,000? We're only 400 away. We get about 20 new ones a day. Can we just speed up the process so we have an even 15,000? Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be.
Rate us on iTunes. Rate us on Facebook. Do everything. Be all about it. It's all about us on this Wednesday, Maz Day. But the Tuesday recording date is June 5th.
That's
which
right.
Which means...
You know what it is.
50 days to the day...
Tiananmen Square?
50 years.
Robert Francis Kennedy was shot and killed at the Ambassador Hotel. He actually languished for 26 hours before succumbing to multiple gunshots in the head by that man.
What's he Sahin? Doing up there?
Sahin.
The Palestinian. You saw him right there in the kitchen. Who let him in there?
Why are we laughing about the death of Robert Francis
too soon?
Kennedy?
Never.
Possibly too soon.
Now look, as a six-year-old, is it possible for me to still remember? I think I remember it.
Yeah.
I would think you would remember that.
My parents were in the kitchen playing cards with my uncle and my aunt because they lived upstairs.
Did you interrupt the card
downstairs.
Game at all?
I interrupted the card game by yelling at them to come in and watch the TV.
Did they tell you to be quiet?
No, they came in and watched the TV.
Say, kids are meant to be seen and not heard.
Wasn't that late, like at 10 o'clock at night or something? What
time
was
it? It would have been like 9:15 our time. Yeah. So I think it was 12. Was it 12:15 California time, I think?
Well, then it would have been 3 in the morning.
3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, you're up playing at 3 in the morning watching TV?
No, maybe I didn't. Madman? Maybe I didn't know.
Pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together. Just a big old fucking suck.
I'm not sure about the time. Now, I have the story right here in front of me. But nonetheless, we were listening to the hit song Abraham, Martin, and John before the show.
We've heard that before on our show. I brought that up.
It's so trite. I mean, honestly, it's kind of funny to me that it was such a big hit.
Kennedy walked in on us jamming to it. Could not understand why we were jamming to
it. She still doesn't know what was happening there. But yes, wouldn't it have made more sense to wait until Bobby was shot and write the song instead of Abraham, Martin, and John? Because Abraham was 100 years before John.
Correct. But he added Bobby in because Bobby's only in the last verse.
Yeah, and he's not in the title.
He's not in the title.
I don't know, I think Bobby got kind of screwed in this song.
He did. Now, did he
the
run?
Words are stupid, too.
Did they run out of room on the label for Bobby?
Maybe it was a remix. He edited it.
No, he was killed 100 years ago.
50.
He was shot in the head at Fort Theater.
Talking about age.
Son of a bitch, Mark.
Why does it seem good they die young? What is that?
I guess because the good die young.
You don't just look around and they're gone. He got shot in the head and he was gone.
You looked around and he was gone. He was one day, he was just gone. We reached out to Dion DiMucci, by the way.
20 minutes ago.
20 minutes ago.
He's alive?
He is. He's doing great. Did you know, Mark?
Wait, why is John second in the song? Oh, because he's after Martin. He was shot at 52. Okay. He freed a lot of people. John?
Yeah.
Did he mix up with Abe or Martin?
He tried to free a lot of people.
And he didn't look around. He's gone. You see it on TV. His head blew up.
Then he was gone.
He was gone pretty fast.
And Jackie tried to help out a little.
This is the churchy portion of the song where we're... Okay.
And it
was the Kennedy assassination was terrible. Yes, I believe so. Okay, Martin's third?
Mm-hmm. What? Because he comes after John. You got
it? Damn, he was black.
1800s, 63, 68, and then Bobby is after that.
It just seems like...
It was April of 68.
Back of the bus treatment a little bit.
No, I don't think that's the reason.
Notice, Mark, the restraint on the gunshots for the black member of the song?
Of course.
Go black!
He got an "and he was black" instead of a gunshot.
Yeah. Mark just didn't want to pay any royalties to the King family.
Exactly. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Okay, now the song's just off into obscurity. There's a bridge, and all of a sudden Bobby comes in?
Yeah, Bobby comes in out of nowhere.
Was the song written and then Bobby got shot?
I'm not
sure. What does he do for the black people?
He's gonna be one day
anybody here?
Bobby.
See my old friend Bobby. Why isn't he in the song title?
Don't know.
That's why we're calling Dion DiMucci.
That man.
From the Bronx. Mark, I got one for you about Dion DiMucci. Drew didn't even notice.
I saw him walking over the hill. What the fuck does that mean?
You saw him walking over the hill?
What a maybe terrible song.
Maybe at Arlington.
I saw him at the podium. I saw him in the kitchen getting shot. I didn't see him walking over the hill.
Maybe at Arlington Cemetery.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that. What a voice.
Oh, God. All right, we'll come back to this important subject. But today...
But I got some on Dion for you.
Oh, what? God, is Dion going to come on?
No one ever.
No. Did you know, Mark, this is very important.
Yeah, who cares?
Trust me, you're going to care. The day the music died, what was that, February 9th of 59?
February 3rd.
February 3rd of 59?
I believe so, yes.
I believe so. I believe he's coming in now. Dion was supposed to be on that flight. He gave his seat up for Richie Valens because he did not want to pay $36.
So instead of Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper, it should have been Buddy Holly, Dion, and Waylon Jennings.
Or the Big Bopper.
Interesting.
Was Waylon Jennings definitely in there?
Didn't he give up a seat to somebody?
I'm just reading on Dion's bio that it was supposed to be him.
Wow.
I'm just.
And why? Well, why was it not Dion? What happened?
He didn't want to pay the $36.
36. Wow, sounds pretty cheap.
Well, back then, I guess.
$36 in 59?
Yeah, I'll give you the quote.
Oh, his cheapness saved his life.
Interesting.
Yeah, his cheapness saved his life.
I wonder if he's still cheap.
Here it is.
Sounds like a great one.
He said the exact amount of rent his parents paid monthly. He said, I couldn't bring myself to pay a full month's rent on a short flight. So I said, Richie, you go. So he accepted and took my seat.
Wait, what kind of piece of shit place were his parents living in? The guy's got giant hits, Runaround Sue, and A Teenager in Love, and his parents live in a place that goes $36 a month.
It wasn't Runaround Sue yet, because when he continued to live in 1960, he went solo and then rocked out with
Dion and the Belmonts.
He did, but he went solo with Runaround Sue, Lovers to Wander, The Wanderer, and so on.
Wow, that had what I really like in a story, an ending.
You got it.
I'm the kind of guy.
Glad I could bring up the date on.
All righty.
The day the music died. And Bobby.
Here in Clark, who loves, he's a big music lover. You heard him talking about how much he loved Dion's voice in that song.
He did.
And today he was talking about the singing of the national anthem at the White House.
Oh, he's a beauty.
As the Eagles were uninvited.
Philadelphia Eagles.
How funny is that to uninvite?
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that. What a voice.
You're uninvited.
How many?
Because they didn't get a good...
because they hate the flag in America.
Oh.
I think, I'm going to say this. Well, I'll ask you guys first. How many Eagles do you think we're actually going to attend?
Players or personnel?
Players.
Players?
They said 50? I would
say
30.
10. The word was 10 players were going to show up.
Okay.
But you still have all the administration and everybody else.
Yeah, but nobody cares about them.
Would have been embarrassing.
I know. It would have been. I agree.
Would Nick Foles have gone?
It would have looked stupid.
It would have looked stupid. Then just cancel it. But to do all this other stuff just so you can rip the Eagles in front of the military is a little, childish.
I think they should have just canceled it.
Well, Steph and LeBron.
They should have canceled it weeks ago.
That's what
I'm saying. I mean, they knew all the black guys weren't going. Chris Long wasn't going.
I don't know. Sarah Sanders in her White House briefing said that as of Friday, 80 people were going to show up. So they're the ones pulling the political thing here.
Steph and LeBron have already said we're not going no matter who wins.
Okay, so well, is he going to uninvite them?
They're not invited. They uninvited themselves.
Should he uninvite them?
6'11".
Perhaps. Perhaps.
By the way,
I wonder if the celebration today, if that inspired a lot of Americans to see the national anthem song, and they sang "God Bless America" too.
Well, it was all Trump kind of sang it. Did you see him singing?
I saw him. I saw his mouth opening. I don't know what he was singing.
Half the time.
I wonder if he knows the words.
I looked it up, the first player who there was a big hubbub about him not going. Care to guess when?
The first hubbub. Oh, the first. I was asking you about that because I was curious.
I looked it up. There could be one before.
Is it Curt Schilling?
No. Well, Tim Thomas wouldn't go to Obama. There's another player that wouldn't go see Obama.
Wait, who's Tim Thomas?
Goalie for the Bruins.
What sport?
How stupid.
Basketball.
Doesn't that sound dumb now?
Well, I got it. Barkley.
Nope. Larry Bird in 1984, and he said, "Reagan, if Reagan wants to see me, he knows where I'm at."
I remember that now.
Was it a protest or he's too busy?
I don't know.
I think he was too busy.
Of course, Jordan went and golfed in 91.
Because I don't think Larry Bird would be protesting anything. I cannot see Larry Bird doing that.
I wouldn't either.
That sounds like he just skipped it.
First big hubbub.
Yeah, I think he was just super busy.
And Jordan wanted to play golf?
Yeah.
Oh, who's the first person that said, "I will not go see that prick president"? Is that Tim Thomas?
There was another anti-Obama.
I remember the baseball player.
Let's see if I can find the story again. Oh, Arrieta wouldn't go see Obama.
Oh, the Cubs?
Yeah.
Oh, stupid. Doesn't that seem so stupid?
Too busy doing his Pilates.
I don't know. You know, maybe I'm being too harsh, but and I'm sure Arrieta was believed in something, or Tim Thomas did. But I guess I was thinking about it today. And I thought, you know, there's some things you just do because you have to do them.
Yeah, but you're part of the team.
But does that not exist anymore? Am I being old? Is that just over?
I think if you don't want to be there, you go. Just stand in the back. Don't say anything. Don't shake his hand. Just stay in the back.
I don't like Trump. I would go if I was invited.
Of course,
because
I'd go in a minute.
Just because it's the office.
Of course.
Well, I don't think going says you. I mean, isn't that part the national anthem? Standing for the national anthem doesn't mean you agree with.
Love sports all of my life.
You're still shaking a president's hand, for crying out loud.
It doesn't mean you agree with everything in the country.
I always love the people of sports, but I've loved sports all of my life.
And when you go to the White House, I don't think it says you agree with everything. And I don't. What the fuck was Tim Thomas so upset about?
He's a member of the Tea Party, and he thinks the federal government.
The death panels?
Just that the federal government was too big was his stance.
So how's it become smaller by him not showing up?
I don't know.
Because he had to open his mouth and be, look at me, look at me.
He should just say he was going to golf like Jordan.
You know, maybe the whole thing about there's certain things
not
you have to do.
Not a bad golfer.
Am I being stupid? Is
no,
that?
I agree with you. I agree.
Because I'll take it a step further. Every time we talk about schools in Detroit, I think, well, can't we start with making kids go to school? Because they have a 50-something percent truancy rate. And I thought, that was just kind of, you did that. You go to school because you have to go to school. And now they have count day.
Yeah, they only go on count day.
Right.
Goodbye, fucking shit fuel.
And they have parties for count day to make sure that they go there.
Right. But I think by having count day, you're saying, you don't really have to go to school, but go on count day.
So we can get credit for you.
Too many ills to...
It is what it is.
...to fix. Did you like Mark Farner yesterday, Maz?
I didn't
hear
him.
Listen to what?
I didn't hear him.
What?
I missed him.
You didn't listen to the podcast.
I missed it.
Did you hear anything about yesterday's podcast? Anybody narc on us?
I did.
Oh, that's interesting.
What'd you hear?
I've been hearing a lot of shit.
Like what?
I've been hearing a lot of shit.
What?
All has to do with this T-shirt and the mail and a bunch of stuff.
You're angry.
What is going to happen with the T-shirt today?
The T-shirt is going to get mailed because I brought something.
Oh.
What?
See this envelope?
Yeah.
I brought my own envelope.
Wow.
We're going to put it in here, and why are we
putting it in there?
I'm going to put it in here and mail it. I'm going to be the guy that's here 3 hours a week is going to take the bull by the horns.
I love the way you're turning this around.
You mean the guy that promised them the shirt?
No, I never promised them the shirt. He said it on his own. What's the word I'm looking for?
His own initiative.
Exactly. Wait, Paul said it because why he said it?
Because he
likes you guys. That's why he said it.
I understand that.
All he wanted.
So if you hadn't been on his podcast, he would have just sent the shirt with no note anyway?
Yes.
That makes no sense.
I know, Paul.
We're
going to
get flooded with
T-shirts
now.
Now it's becoming about Paul.
If people want to send T-shirts in, Mark, with a self-addressed stamped envelope, they can.
Except that we barely have time to somehow get this thing out.
It's like wiping your ass. Sign your name and put it in the damn envelope.
Well, then you do it, if it's that easy.
I am.
Send it to Tom.
But I'm not Drew.
Send it to Tom.
It took you 6 weeks to do it, at least.
I didn't know it was my job.
So now you're distancing yourself from the T-shirt.
I'm doing the guy a solid. I like Paul. He's a nice kid.
So wait, you didn't? Okay, can we call him? Give us his phone number.
Paul, we need your phone number. Any corrections to this new narrative?
You didn't promise him a shirt.
No.
You didn't tell him you'd get a shirt signed.
He sent the shirt in. He bought it.
Without any discourse with you.
The reason you didn't know about it is because he forgot to include the letter.
Okay, but you didn't encourage anything.
No.
How do you get the
shirt? Say, Mason, I think I'm going to send a shirt in.
How do you get the address?
Yeah, how did you give it to him? I thought you didn't talk to him.
You said you didn't have any conversation with him about it.
I had conversations with him. He's like, hey, I'm going to send a shirt in to get an autograph. You think they'd mind? I'm like, oh, they won't mind.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. We signed it.
That's your promise.
Okay.
Did you notice how carefully Maz folded this T-shirt? Look at that. Look at the care he's giving. He would never have gotten that care with us.
Look at that.
Well, I mean, when
he's got two pieces of cardboard.
Drew, when something's 3 months late, you might as well dress it up a little bit.
It's only late because we forgot to send it
back. We did not forget it.
We did forget.
Now, I want a T-shirt.
No, I think there were reminders sent to somebody.
I'm not the mail department. Joey Marasso's the mail department.
Wait, why is
no
Joey?
Mail department.
Joey's got another job.
Yes, so do I.
I know, but Joey didn't talk to the guy. Joey didn't give him the address.
Joey said, I'll
I think
take
by
care
giving
of it.
Him the address, I think you guaranteed
it. We have it right now.
Now you're saying you contacted Joe Marasso and he never got back to you.
Correct. I sent him the email. I sent him Paul's address. I'm like, can you take care of this for me? Yes, I did.
Okay.
So you think Joey
it's his fault.
Fell down on the job?
Well, it would have been. Well, Joey mails all the shirts, so I figured, what's wrong with letting him mail this shirt?
Well, did you take it by his house? You live right by him.
No, I didn't take it by his house because it wasn't signed all that time.
Well, but in the last 3 weeks, month.
I asked for you guys to sign a shirt for like months.
What?
And then one day, all of a sudden,
there was no shirt though because there was no note, and so Joey took the shirt back because
there you go. Joey took the shirt back.
Yeah, but
because no
didn't
one
have
knew
the
it
shirt
was.
Anymore. We got him
all
another shirt.
All Joey had to do was put that shirt or any shirt you give him,
but that shirt
in
wasn't signed. He brought another shirt back, which
we
signed.
Why are we arguing about a shirt?
Because you won't cave in and admit that you should have put it in an envelope and sent it to him.
No, I'm not. I'm not caving in because I am not the one that's responsible to be mailing things.
Okay, then who should have? So you just Joey is the one that's at fault.
I didn't say he was at fault.
Then
I
who's at fault?
I asked
the mail
you,
department.
I asked you.
It's clearly Joey's
and I told
fault.
You no, I'm not doing it.
Because you're an asshole.
Why am I the asshole?
You're here 6 days a week.
I know. That's exactly the point.
Think
he has too much to do already.
Like I just did a minute.
You're here twice a week.
Look how easy it was for you.
Once a week.
It's your promise.
I know, but so your word is not your bond.
My word is my bond.
We didn't promise anything.
You two guys.
Somebody
are in cahoots against
somebody.
Me.
There's
a
no cahoots there.
So I get this. This is extended now to another category because someone. I'm not going to say who, but someone wants a mat, and want to know how they get one. I said, well. I'll give you a mat if you want a mat. And then there was something about, I want to say it was a he or she, but their address. Uh-huh. And I said, oh, our postal department's pretty overwhelmed right now. And so they quickly caved in.
I like that.
And I'm not sure how this will be transacted, but anyway.
I like
that. I made no promises.
Okay.
Unlike some people.
Uh-huh. I just figured it was a nice gesture on behalf of the guys.
Well, yeah, other people.
You did have
parts.
Him on the show to talk about me being on his sports
yeah,
cast.
That was and that was a solid to him. We did a solid to him.
Very nice
solid.
Of you to offer him a shirt.
Him a big
a
solid.
Shirt.
Everybody's favorite Drew and Mike mascot, part-time Mazaway.
I'm a mascot now?
I'm just reading a copy.
Okay.
Part-time, let's see. Everybody's favorite Drew and Mike mascot, part-time Tom Mazaway, mentioned that our friends at Zod Ford to pay a minimum of $2,500 for any trade-in.
And it works.
Regardless, if it runs, has tires, has a nest of chipmunks living under the hood, since then the phones at Zod Ford have been blowing up. So due to popular demand, you did have a huge, you had a monster week.
Yeah, had a great finish.
Due to popular demand, Gabar and the team have decided to keep this ridiculousness going a little bit longer.
Hi, Brandon.
Go ahead and drag that jalopy, push that POS, or pull that pile to Zod Ford and Holland. Get $2,500 when you purchase your next new Ford. Plus, you can use that $2,500 as down payment on your purchase or lease. Or if you prefer, they can even cut you a check. And cut you a check? Oh, and then it wouldn't go towards your purchase.
Right.
But you still have to get a vehicle, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I had someone that just called me today and asked if they can just get a check.
And you go buy a big bag of weed. Your call. Don't be surprised when another member of Zot's award-winning staff assists you with your purchase. Part-time Tom Mazway will likely be out of the office or off to some exotic location. Around the globe. Wow, this copy is fierce.
It is fierce.
Only from your friends at dealsinthed.com.
I'm glad Steve thinks so much of me.
Glasses, contacts, those of heart, reading glasses, are ancient technologies. And yes, Eli keeps putting that in the copy because he likes the way we talk about it. And it's true! Ben Franklin wore bifocals 250 years ago. Glasses and contacts are the flip phones, the blurry analog TVs, the old dial-up internet, the AM radios of vision correction. Old-fashioned, poorly performing. Why are they still lying on your nose or stuck in your eye? Have Dr. Yaldo tell you which of his state-of-the-art surgeries, custom LASIK or multifocal implants, will bring you into the 21st century, crystal clear, 20/20 or better, near and far vision. Dr. Yalu has done over 30,000 LASIK procedures. He is Michigan's most experienced and honored, three times chosen as Outstanding LASIK Surgeon by the prestigious Consumers Research Council. We rely on the Consumers Research Council for so much information on this show. And there he is, three times Outstanding LASIK Surgeon. A free evaluation for Dr. Yaldo. You have nothing to lose except your scratched-up glasses, annoying contacts, and the reading glasses you can never find when you need them. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES. Get it done and have the best summer and the best vision of your life.
I got a letter to read. May I read a letter?
Yeah, certainly.
You're going to anyway.
As long as there aren't lots of birthdays and plugs in there.
Well, it's from a customer of mine, and of course.
Oh, of course.
Well, yeah. No. It's a podcast listener. Okay, here he goes. To the Drew and Mike podcast.
Brandon, get ready to bleep.
Way back in high school, I remember listening to Drew and Mike while we were listening to school, while we were driving to school. Some of us would record it, listen to it after school. From Favre Blows to Donut Shop Terrorism, that morning show was a staple with my group of friends. Sure, Arthur Penhallow's baby might have been a local area catchphrase, but for us it was always, bitch! As time traveled on, we traveled for work and would record the shows using a radio tuner card attached to a computer and listen to the show like an MP3. And then after getting another shitty job, I remember laughing my ass off as Grandma Brewery on my long drives to work, thinking how much that damn radio show had impacted my life. I was devastated when Drew and Mike were axed in favor of the other show.
Oh no!
Let's be honest, those guys are blanking annoying as blank, and that blank show blanks. When I first heard that there was going to be a podcast, I was overjoyed, and to once again hear the familiar voices and infectious laughter is just as good as it ever was. In fact, I'm not sure if I ever laughed as hard as I have or heard Drew laugh as hard after reading the one-star hotel reviews with the weird milk drinker and the used panties left on the nightstand.
Very funny.
From Mark's signature fake to Trudy's amazing alluring voice to Maz's hatred for Starbucks, y'all have no doubt the number one podcast in the country. Thanks for your hard work and the entertainment over the years to many more down the line. See ya, AJ Cropwriter. And
just bleep the name, Brandon.
He sent in a gift certificate for you guys, for us, to be used on Maz Days, of course, for
a
great pizza joint that he loves up the street from us called Two Guys.
Bleep the pizza joint, too.
You don't want them to deliver?
Just kidding.
Okay. Anyway, we have a gift card, a gift certificate.
We'll leave it up to Brandon's discretion.
Thank you to AJ, and we're going to order pizza and have it delivered.
Are we ordering it tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm starving.
You in?
Yeah.
All right. Because I looked at the menu already.
I cannot eat during the show. I swear, food is so distracting during the show to me. You know, I understand people have to eat sometimes.
People don't like when you eat on the show.
No, I know they don't.
They called us on it last week when we were devouring.
I know. And I was having a hard time speaking because I was so into the food.
I know.
I just lost concentration completely.
I got a gift for you from another customer of mine, Tom Trudeau.
Oh, we should name this segment.
What's out?
Well. What's that from? That's from Topps?
Yeah. That's a 19. What year is it?
It's a Ron Santo baseball card from...
It's called... Not a baseball card. It's called something else.
Card save? It says 69 Topps.
Yeah. That's what it's from.
It's an old picture of him. Yeah. That's got to be his rookie year.
And autographed.
Well, that's a real autograph?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm not going to rag this segment anymore.
Isn't that good?
It's pretty cool.
Don't lose it.
It's got to know. It's going to go up in the basement somewhere.
It's going to go up there, so...
Maybe next to the Help 45.
Oh yeah. Well, we could put it on the shelf.
See that Help 45
got that?
Cover? Yeah, I did.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a record store. Believe it or not, there's still a record store.
I love record stores.
In downtown Royal Oak.
Yeah.
Can't think of the name, but they had pins. I got a Ram pin.
Oh,
McCartney Ram.
Nice.
And in fact, you know what I heard on the Beatles channel today? Mark and Brandon are completely out of the show now.
Well, they're doing their thing.
Is the show still recording?
I think it is.
What seems to be going on?
I think that Mark's monitor got unplugged. He redid the cables today, so looks like his computer.
So it's all about Mark.
Okay. It's all about you and me for now, Maz.
Okay.
I was just going to say, this morning on the Beatles channel, I heard Too Many People.
Mm-hmm.
You know that song?
Oh, yeah.
God, that's a great song. I feel like it has...
There's not many bad ones.
No. But the Too Many People, I just feel... I love the term, first of all, because I feel like too many people are talking now. Too many people have a voice. People that do not need a voice should not have a voice.
Uh-huh.
Not everyone should have a voice, because then we have to listen to them.
Hog.
The Hog?
Hog.
Oh, David Hog? Well, I don't want to take his voice away.
You did get sick of it.
I'm not following on Twitter anymore, or Peter Frampton. But anyway.
I'm still working on Roger Daltrey, by the way. I re-upped on Roger Daltrey.
Seriously?
Yeah, so the closer that concert comes, we will get him.
That's huge.
Yep, well, and
Keith Gave is coming up also. Keith Gave.
The Russian Five.
Yes, the author.
Amazing stories.
Of the Russian Five, a story of espionage, defection, bribery, and courage. And Keith.
The Red Wings, of course, we're talking about.
He was at the Free Press, Dallas Morning News, and he's, KeithGave.com. I'm sure they'll tell you all about how to get the book if you want to go to KeithGave.com. He's also the sports director, WQON and WGRY.
WGRY.
Not sure where those stations are.
Grayling.
WTRY in Rochester. Do you remember that station?
No.
No? Really?
Upstate New York?
Yeah.
No.
New guy that worked
home of the Rochester Lancers of the NASL.
The Rochester Lancers? I was not super familiar with them.
They were in the Cosmos. They were in the NASL back in the day.
You guys ready to start the show now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're having a rocking show.
It's all about you.
The show's killing.
Jesus Christ.
You know what we should do? We should have done, actually, while you guys were doing that. Did you get it reconnected?
Yeah. That was fun.
I got to call the pizza place. Will you guys, no matter what I get, you guys are good with it?
What are you talking about?
Of course.
We got a gift certificate from my one of my customers, AJ.
Did you hear Maz's plug?
No.
Well, he appreciates the show.
Okay, cool. He'll eat some.
So he bought dinner for the show.
All right.
It's awesome.
Right? I don't think you should get any, though.
Okay. I'm good either way.
I know you are. Except you will eat.
I was, of course, incredulous like everyone else that Michigan State, I mean, what else could go wrong at Michigan State? I mean, surely people, Spartans, are walking around going, what else can happen to the school I have my degree from that I love dearly, the sports teams I love so much, everything about East Lansing and the campus and all the beauty.
It's gone. It's literally gone to the dogs.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
As a physicist is having sex with a basset hound, it sounds like this is not up for debate either.
No.
It sounds like it's just a fact. Oh, like somebody just busted
him. He's dating.
He's done it. Yeah, they definitely were a steady item.
And I'm watching the coverage. I know. Poor dog, of course.
Dog.
I feel terrible for the dog. And there's
dog
so much.
Said no, too.
What's up, dog?
God damn it.
Oh, boy.
Is that plugged in?
Something's plugged in.
No, I was plugged. Whatever. No. I'm about to give up.
Michigan State is. Can Brandon's drops play?
Am I potted up, Brandon?
You were playing drops. Oh, it was on the other one.
Yeah, you're good.
I am potted up?
Yeah.
Try it again.
Oh, that air feels good.
Ooh.
Push it over here.
That didn't sound so well.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, wait.
Oh. Oh.
What's up, dog?
It just needed to warm up.
Yeah, I guess.
You're in mono.
We now have a power source that will back us up in the event of future power outages, which apparently are going to happen a few times a year for no reason. Am I exaggerating?
No, not. My power went out this morning for about 2 minutes in Berkeley. That was fun.
Does anyone care about this?
No.
I mean, honest to God, I feel like we're just so used to shit service in Michigan that we just accept it. Why should anyone's power be going out now?
Nobody's power should be going out if you're paying for it.
Anyway, going back to Flash, the name of the dog. Flash, Michigan State's statement said that this did not, the physicist having sex with his dog, sodomy, did not happen on campus, and the animal is not associated in any way with Michigan State. Michigan State has distanced themselves from the animal.
Well, good. And they're not going to apologize, as we talked about yesterday. Whose dog is it? Do we know that yet?
I think it's his dog. The neighbor seemed to... It's funny. I've never seen the TV stations go to East Lansing for a smaller story.
A bestiality story?
Oh, bestiality. I mean, really, think of all the stories that go on out there that they will report from home.
If he wasn't a Michigan State professor right now, would it be as big of a story?
Well, if it was a Michigan professor, I think they'd... It's just... Everybody's talking about it. If it wasn't
a professor, would it be as big of a story right now? It's just
if it was a regular person?
Yeah.
No way. You want to go to Fox 2, 10 p.m.? They had the lead story, and they actually followed the guy around, I think, for about as long as the story could stand. Now, there was actually woman on the street on Channel 7.
She added a lot.
They talked to a neighbor. She said nothing. I mean,
no, she added a lot.
What did she say? Didn't she just say
she couldn't believe it?
Thought he had a dog. Yeah, she couldn't believe it, and she thought he had a dog.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
Okay.
There's a big nothing.
Fox 2, they must have told this guy, get something. Just get something. Get some footage. We got to have footage of the guy. So he just follows the guy around, barking dumb questions at him. I thought, it's not Fox and Friends, Fox 2. There you go. Mm-hmm. That should be it.
He said
it's the lead story. Yeah, it's at the very beginning, so you might have to back up. That's okay. But seriously, how many crappy things? The Strample thing.
Tom's delegating the pizza order.
I'm not delegating. Joey asked if he could help.
Joey, did you ask if you could help?
Hey, Mark, go ask yourself.
Well, you were pretty eager to accept that help.
Of course. Who wouldn't want help?
I didn't ask for help.
That's because you're
having all these problems.
Was there any indication that he needed help while Joey was walking upstairs? It's okay. Did you witness it, Kennedy?
You could have just gone and ordered it.
You didn't see it? Okay. I was going to ask Kennedy.
I could have. Then you could have said other stuff about me.
That you were struggling with.
I would have gotten up and done it on my own.
Here we go.
Allegedly did to a dog. Fox 2's Dave Spencer with more on the disturbing story.
Joseph, just a couple questions. No, if you want to say anything. Who's flashed the basset?
I don't want to be on camera. Please, no comment.
What was the question?
It's video who's you'll flashed only the see basset on Fox 2. Minutes after being arraigned on two counts of bestiality for allegedly having sex with a basset hound named Flash, 50-year-old Joseph Hattie walked out of the Ingham County Jail. Is this your dog? He entered a plea of not guilty and was allowed to go home reconnaissance bond. Hattie's neighbors say they did remember him having a basset hound as a pet. A basset hound, the alleged victim here, is now in the care of animal control. This is where it really started, animal control. We're told once they got wind of what was happening, they contacted investigators over at the sheriff's office. And from there,
you
they reached the desk
dick.
Of the attorney general. According to the attorney general's office, the crimes of sodomy with the dog happened for 2 months between January and April of this year.
They're looping him going out of
by 15 years in prison. Are you saying you're innocent? Is this all just fabricated? Hattie walked away from our cameras without giving any explanation, but he won't be going back to work anytime soon. Back in April, Michigan State University was notified of the investigation and suspended Hattie from his position
to the dog
as
trail.
A health business assistant at MSU.
They're looping it in slow-mo
pending
now.
The outcome of this case. Is there anything you want to say to MSU, any of the students that you taught, anything like that at all? Investigators and MSU both say the crimes happened
that.
In
Holt, when they chase a
not
guy down.
On campus, and not involving any
He's
animals
a dog
associated
fucker.
With the university. Hattie will be back in court on June 14th in Ingham County. Dave Spencer, Fox 2 News.
Don't chase him.
You are the worst human being I have ever met.
Well, that was quite, I mean, that was like a 3-minute story for a guy who said, I don't want to be on camera.
Well, they got him on camera, though.
I'm dying to know what they have on this guy. I mean, it just.
Well, they said he used his hand and his penis.
Did the dog blow the whistle?
I know that part.
What? No, he and his penis, Drew. Not just his hand.
Oh, I missed that. Thank you for clarifying. Thank you for clarifying that.
Poor dog.
Oh, that's a beautiful dog. Oh, just look at him.
And he's consensual.
And Strample, the dean, had a preliminary hearing today.
Yeah.
Where a female testified that he grabbed her ass. And
but they're not going to use the video that he made of the girls that walked by his office, which... I don't know why that seems just as creepy that he had a hidden camera just to watch women walk by his office.
Well, it was in the hallway, I guess. But yeah, I know this guy's this guy
beating off to women walking by.
I know. By the way, I saw a shot of Lou Simon in the story.
Yeah, Lou Simon's in front of the.
Is her hair shorter than it used to be? I swear to God, I couldn't believe how short her hair was.
Ooh, I don't know.
She took a. It was like she took a picture of George Clooney and said, "Can you cut my hair like this?
I want the Clooney.
I want this."
And for all the money they're paying, the $500 million, are they going to at least remove the $750,000 they're paying her?
No,
the next couple years and all the season tickets and all the stuff? Because that would pay one person,
maybe.
Our
parking pass.
Unreal. Miss America, they have removed.
No more. It's over.
It's not a beauty pageant anymore.
No, it's not over.
Yeah, it's over.
There's no swimsuit. No, is no evening gown, too, right?
They can't have evening gowns. They can wear any dress you'd like. It could be a skirt,
if you
it could
want
be
to
a pantsuit, it could be whatever.
But this is the problem. What if you wanted to be really slutty and sexy?
You can be.
Well,
you can be.
Then what's the point?
Could you wear a bathing suit?
I don't know. I think it's. I don't think that's a gown. I don't
I would think
that's
the
a dress.
Chicks, wouldn't the chicks be pissed about this? I mean, yes, they spend all this time working on their bodies and staying in shape.
They're now
in
fatties beauty, can do it.
They're in a beauty That's pageant. The good thing.
No, right. It is a beauty. Miss America is always hot.
It's a beauty pageant. These women want to be beautiful. That's what I don't get about it.
Now my girl Ashley Graham can get in it.
Ugh.
She probably. Well, I think if it's really about inner beauty, which is what they claim, which is bullshit, of course.
Of course.
Dion, my man.
So you want me to wear this?
Shouldn't they blindfold the judges?
Yeah.
Really?
It's
shouldn't
all about,
they?
It's all about inner beauty.
It should, yeah, be, it should be like The Voice. The chair should be turned
exactly
around.
Thank you.
Yeah. Miss America's
final
one.
Question. What do you find most mind-boggling about the opposite sex?
And Dion should be the full-time host.
No question.
Forever.
For everything.
Yeah, I agree.
Come on.
Speaking of Dion, did you talk about Dwight Clark at all?
No, we did not talk about Dwight Clark.
Did you eulogize him on Twitter?
I did.
How quick after he died did you eulogize him?
There was a debate.
Pretty quick.
Okay. Yeah,
pretty
did
quick.
You eulogize
shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.
Did you also eulogize Bruce Kiesen?
No, but I did like him. He was on my first favorite team, the 70 Pittsburgh Pirates.
What is the most historical thing about Bruce Kiesen?
I don't know.
Didn't he pitch the first night game in postseason history?
I don't
Being
know that.
Bruce isn't
that's a,
easy.
That's a great question.
Can you Google
yeah,
him and find
course,
out? Man, I think that's important.
Do you remember which of those Pittsburgh Pirate pitchers crashed into a brick wall?
With a car?
Yeah. Do you remember who it was?
Well, no, Doc Ellis pitched while he was on acid.
That's the LSD.
Yeah.
I love this place. Hello, Pittsburgh.
It wasn't Dave Justy, was it?
No. Well, that's a good guess.
Was it from that period?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was from that team. The 70-71 Pirates.
Candyman wasn't there yet.
Slow down.
Bert Blylevin?
No.
Oh, he was on the 79 team.
Who is it?
Who?
Bob Moose.
Oh, the Moose.
Yeah.
Wait.
And then who got a pitching disease named after him?
Steve Blass.
Steve Blass disease.
Steve Blass, also the owner of the all-time best photo of a book, the cover of his book.
What's he doing?
He's throwing out a first pitch, but he's also got like his lunch in his hand, and he's wearing khakis. He was a great interview. Loved having him on.
But
the
Steve
only
Blass?
Thing I was fix you fix. The only one thing I could focus on was the fact that
he had lunch.
They couldn't get a better picture for the cover of his book.
He was incredibly good. He was 18-6. I think he had 4 or 5 shutouts. Great ERA. Great pitcher. One of the best pitchers in the National League. And then all of a sudden, he couldn't throw a strike.
He could not.
Overnight.
He couldn't throw.
It was bizarre. And he never corrected himself. It was very strange.
Ooh, Michael Corleone says hello.
So,
there's the cover of the book, Tom. You telling me they couldn't get a better picture of Steve Blass than that?
Sweet.
He's got his lunch there.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
You guys had him on?
Yeah, he was phenomenal. Yeah,
good guy. Well, he did the games for the Pirates. He was on the broadcast.
He was the winning pitcher in the first night game of World Series history.
Bruce
We're talking
Kiesel.
About Bruce Kiesel.
Yes. Thank you.
1971, Game 4. That was the first World Series I ever watched. Remembered, I mean.
71?
71. And I love the Pirates Great. And Roberto Clemente.
Roberto yep. Clemente.
I'd rather sleep with Bruce. Then, of course, he died tragically on his way to Nicaragua.
We didn't know about you, sweetheart.
Plane crash.
A relief mission shortly after getting
a plane
his.
That never should have took off.
Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.
Who managed that team?
Danny Murtaugh.
Danny Murtaugh.
The great Danny Murtaugh. The plane was unbalanced. There was too much weight.
Yep, too much to too much groceries.
And that was Roberto Clemente.
Dead on
Any
new
more brain year's busters?
Eve night.
That's right. Yeah. Right after 3,000th hit.
How about that? His last hit, Mark, was his 3,000th hit, and then he died in a plane crash. So he finished exactly at 3,000 hits. Phenomenal player.
A fitting tribute.
I always loved the people of sports, but I've loved sports all of my life.
I will say this. Sports talk does bring out the drops. Because Mark and Brandon get very bored.
It's so funny, they start cranking. It's true.
Let's take a look.
We're on Miss America when I cut you off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is there anything more to say about it? I mean, I just think it's
no, it's
so
over.
Dumb.
It's done. It's done.
The ratings die. The less TNA, the less ratings, right?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, is that the one where they're allowed fakers? Or is this
That's
the...
Trump's Miss Yeah, Miss but he has USA.
So that's USA.
Or is it
USA.
Miss Universe?
Okay, well, America was out anyway.
Wait, this is America, right? Or is this
yeah.
Universe?
This is America.
Okay, is America. This is Who America. Wanted this? Who wanted no swimsuits?
Gretchen Carlson.
Oh, she took it over from the right. sexist guy yeah. that was
yeah,
running.
She was okay. on GMA this morning talking.
Her parts
about
is turning over in his grave.
You're sexist. That's horrible.
Did you see the NFL cheerleaders on Good Morning America the other day?
Un-American.
What'd they do?
Did you see it, Mark?
Yeah, bitching about making $7.25. That story right. bothers me too, because they're if they were that mistreated.
They're getting the game free. They have a pass.
Actually,
they got a credential.
Yeah, but a lot of them have
field
to sell.
Pass. They do
sell memorabilia or sell yeah. calendars before they can even dance.
What I was going to say, it's one thing to be mistreated while you're employed by them. They should focus on that. Not that you agreed to accept a job where you're making $7.25. And then one girl actually said, we didn't know how much we were making until we took the job. Well, you might want to ask that.
How many of them okay. are really? How many of them are just there to try to find? I'm not. They're just there to try to find their sugar daddy, as far as I'm
God
concerned.
God bless
Whoa.
The United States.
Sorry.
That's a pretty heavy charge, man.
Sorry.
But they're not allowed to like talk with any of the players.
I know. Yeah, that happens.
Follow them on social media.
Right. That
I
happens.
Think rule one is no player cock.
Yeah, that happens.
That's rule one, which some people would say is a little harsh to no say that to the cock. Ladies. And it does a lot of women leave the meeting when they see rule one.
I will never watch another NFL game.
But you know, honestly, what is it with the NFL where they know these girls are dying for the exposure because if you're going into modeling or you want a resume builder, like being Miss Drew and Mike was a big resume builder. Didn't pay a whole lot.
Who was that? Who was Miss Drew and Mike?
Well, we had a different one. We had it was really the monthly web girl was Miss.
We had the web girl for a while, and then that spun off into the Riff Rock girl, and they've been very successful.
Look at Marissa.
Look at the careers that the Riff Rock girls have gone on to.
Has her own TV show.
I can't even begin to name all the people and what they've gone on to.
Mm-hmm.
And Marissa, though, really has done well.
Look at Joanna.
Was Joanna a rock girl?
I don't think so.
But oh, okay.
Tom just wanted to mention someone he knew.
She was part of our show.
Well, that's true. She is on the afternoon show now.
Yeah. We didn't know about you, sweetheart.
By the way, I get numerous emails from people saying that 105.1 has played a Kanye West
song. In the morning, though?
I don't know. I don't think anyone understands that. Unless they listen to this podcast, but I still
I think they went off that stance a couple of weeks ago.
The morning show did?
Yeah.
Really? Why didn't they get national publicity for that?
I don't remember. That's when I got called out by Nate Bender. Don't you remember?
Yes. Okay.
It ain't all about you, sweetheart.
So these cheerleaders,
yes.
dying for exposure, dying to be seen, dying to build their resumes. The NFL, which makes billions and billions of dollars, why can't they just pay them like 50 grand or something?
No. They should. Why not? They should.
20 grand?
The reason they don't.
Cheerleading? Something?
The reason they don't is because they were doing it for $7.25.
I know,
you know,
but
I'll
why
pay them
don't
100
they,
a game. That's
they
it.
Make a bazillion dollars.
100 a game. That's fair.
I have to tell you what bothered me about the way it was covered was that it's sexism to pay the players this amount and the cheerleaders this amount. No, that's bullshit. That's stupid. The people are there to see the players. It has nothing to do with the sex of the girl.
There are some teams that don't even have cheerleaders.
Well, they're all going to get rid of them now.
Probably,
Lions
probably
just
will.
Got theirs probably. 2 years ago. The Giants still don't have theirs.
Yeah, because it's too much trouble because they're clapping their traps.
Remember the Lions' old cheerleaders? Well, there were little majorettes and that's it. Majorettes, baton twirlers, color guards from high school.
Volunteers. Why can't they pay the cheerleers $10 an hour for all their
practice?
They can
practice? Pay them a lot more than that.
I'm just saying, give them $100 a game.
I don't understand why. Okay, well, how many cheerleaders are there? Like 10?
Yeah, probably.
What's 400 grand a year?
10.
40 grand a piece.
Oh, no. Some of them have like 25.
Okay, that's a million a year. A million a year for an NFL team?
They could afford it.
I mean, really, isn't it kind of stupid? If they don't want to pay them that, then don't have them. Don't have them walking around going,
well, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. How much are they making?
Probably.
They got to be making
squat.
A lot more than that.
I doubt it.
I bet you they are.
I doubt it.
They have their calendars. They have all kinds of stuff.
Mark, Google Dallas. Somebody Google Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders salary.
$150 per home game.
I said pay $100 a game.
That makes $1,200 a year.
Plus field pass.
I thought it was always a good time to get fucking rich.
Okay. Well, today's history lesson is Keith Gabe's coming up. Boy, this is a sports-heavy podcast. Jeez. For a non-sports podcast. Bobby Kennedy, part three of the RFK series on Netflix is specifically about the assassination and the busboy that may have gotten him killed by trying to shake his hand. And this busboy, as you'll see, he had met Kennedy the day before, and some people apparently felt that because RFK reached out to him, that's why he got shot. Clearly. And this guy got shitty mail. He was trolled for years afterwards by people saying, if you hadn't tried to shake his hand, he would have lived. Which is stunning and tells me that there were trolls in 1968 also.
There were probably trolls way back. Well, there's that one Bud Light ad that shows there were trolls.
Yeah, okay. That's true.
We actually have audio of what happened in that. Was it the kitchen?
Yeah, yeah. We do.
High five! Download! It's too slow!
Where'd you find that, Brandon?
It's online. It just surfaced.
It was in the Netflix. It was in the Netflix.
Okay, audio please. This is the day of the California primary.
A bat out of hell that night. He was 50 years ago today.
Yes, and, thank you.
Most of the conversation was over what was going to happen after
he
California.
Just lost the Oregon primary, the first time a Kennedy had lost an election period.
On election day, and I was going home.
Was Joseph Kennedy
hated
pissed?
Victory parties.
Yes.
And turned on the radio and heard we were behind on the vote.
That's Paul Schrade.
I better go downtown to
the great Paul
Schrade. Hotel.
Great Paul Schrade.
Look at the ambassador. Man, I wish I had one of those
reporter
posters.
Covering the victory party. It was just wall to wall.
Threw a damper on this victory party.
It was hot, and people just kept crowding in and crowding in and crowding in.
I am not
waiting
a fan.
For the results, but you're coming in very slowly with 10% of the votes counted.
Is that
we might
Chance?
Howard K. Smith.
Howard K. Smith, thank you. It's a very tight race now. McCarthy has 43%, just one percentage point more than Kennedy with 42%. With that uncommitted slate there in the middle, which leans towards the Vice President Humphrey.
I got down there.
We want Bobby.
That whole corridor.
You'd be at no shot.
The ambassador was taken over by the Kennedy campaign. A lot of media people coming and going. Bob doing some interviews.
Senator Kennedy, how does it look to you in the southern section of the state?
Well, I think it's very difficult because of the, it's not like the, used to be 8 years ago, 10 years ago, or 12 years ago.
Not looking too good.
And maybe you wouldn't even know until tomorrow morning, but all of your electronic equipment knows much quicker than those of us in politics, so I can't really tell very much more than what I see on
a great president he would have been.
The various
news works.
News works
all right, but is that, if it works,
that's the end of the campaign.
When I found out about Bobby Kennedy, he's going to have his headquarters at Ambassador Hotel. I never planned on meeting him.
Here's
I was
man.
Just so happy
Juan
to be
bus boy.
Under
this
the
bus
same
boy.
Roof, under the same, in the same building. So the opportunity came.
He's in the building.
We was going to take him a buffet table to his room. We got everything ready and then went up the service elevator. They opened up the door. Next thing I know, he turns around and just tells, come on in, boys. I was starstruck. And then he reached out, shook my hand with both hands. I felt so American, as American as everybody in the room. I walked out of there with my head high.
When I saw him up in the room, the numbers still hadn't come in. He was sort of amused, not definitive, not full of predictions, more like, here he comes, that Irish fatalism.
Un-American.
And Kennedy all evening have been trading one or two points back and forth. But McCarthy has never so far surrendered the lead.
Here at McCarthy headquarters, they're announcing a later total now. 126,037, 43% McCarthy. McCarthy is still ahead.
Well, Gene's going to win in the end.
Finally,
hours later,
a forfeit.
Bob got calls in saying the polls had closed in Watts, the African-American area, and also in Latino area. So he sent runners out and to find out why the polls had closed. And the runners came back and said the polls are closed because 100% of the voters had already voted, so they had no more voters.
I fucking believe that.
Which had never happened before in any election.
Final vote will be Kennedy 48%, Senator McCarthy 41%.
Killed him.
Congratulations, everybody.
He was down and he came all the way back.
What a rally.
48 to 40.
See the rally caps?
He couldn't do a rally cap. They break.
He was so handsome.
I was in his suite.
Just look at him.
And he joked with me. He said, John, you let me down today.
John Lewis. He just wanted to say his own name.
More Mexican-American turn out to vote than Negroes. That's what he said.
You say you can't use the word Negro?
I'll be back. I'm going down to speak, and I'll be back.
Oh, boy.
The last thing he said to me was, how's the food?
Good one.
How's the food?
Oh, man.
See you on Friday.
He's going to make a primo dump later on.
The senator asked me to come with him to the podium.
Now, Senator Kennedy is proceeding towards the ballroom where he will
talk
to his campaign workers.
I watched this. I watched part one. Then I got bored because they don't have any of the chicks in there. No Marilyn, no nothing. I'm like, this is boring. But at the same time, he's definitely a good guy. He's a good guy. He's likable. I skipped part two because I saw part three was the assassination. I want to get educated about it. So I'm watching part three, and we're only watching a couple minutes of it, but I watched the first 39 minutes.
Boring!
Up to this
boring.
Point. Boring! Okay, it was boring until this day. But nonetheless, I don't know, he just wanted to happen differently. Like, you know, that horrible thing when you're watching a documentary, you know, the person dies or ODs or whatever at the end. It's like, it just, I don't know, they really...
Bummer.
By the way, our...
like a good guy.
Remember our guy we had on last week? Allen?
Yes, the...
your buddy?
JFK expert.
The JFK expert has told me now, has been writing me all week saying he's boned up on RFK and he's ready anytime you're ready.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yeah, well, let's wait for the 100th we'll anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Maybe at 100.
Wrong. Here he is now. He's entering the ballroom and you can hear the cheers from his supporters.
The crowd was really beside themselves. It was very exciting. Because by this time, we were pretty sure that this was going to be the next president of the United States.
No doubt.
Wrong.
Landslide.
There was just a lot of hope. It was like everything that you could possibly hope and wish for was going to happen.
That would have been Kennedy over Nixon twice.
Yes. By two different Kennedys.
Isn't that something? Nixon would have killed himself.
I thought, where's his security?
Don't you go dying on me!
No security. He just had me security. There was one person that was walking with him.
Can you hear on any of these?
But I didn't say anything.
Can you hear on that?
Because I didn't want to spoil the moment.
I thank all of you.
Sir, those of you right here.
And some say he gets pushed into the kitchen.
I want to express my gratitude to my dog, Freckles, who's been maligned. And I don't care what they say. As Franklin Roosevelt said, I don't care what they say about me, but when they start to attack my dog. I'm not doing this in the order of importance, but I also want to thank my wife, Ethel.
She's pregnant with her 11th kid right now.
She looks pretty good, too.
Thanks.
Stop laughing.
A little bit of a five head.
I want to also thank all my friends
head?
In the...
A big forehead?
All bigger than four?
Got it.
All my friends in the black community. And all of those... Mexican Americans who were such supporters of mine. And Dolores Huerta, who's an old friend of mine and has worked with the union.
Thank you.
We were in such a dark period then in the United States of America. And then to have somebody there that was really going to be the savior of the country, and especially for working people, and somebody that was strong and, you know, a real leader. And a visionary.
And I want to also, if I may, just take a moment more of your time to express my appreciation to Paul Schrade. I'm very grateful to him.
Paul Schrade has your glasses,
that he's
Drew.
Made on behalf of the working man in the state of California.
Paul Schrade will help my brother in Chappaquiddick later on.
It was just a wonderful, wonderful moment.
A lot of young people cheering and crying and, you know,
singing.
What I think is quite clear
is that we can
work together in the last analysis. And that what has been going on within the United States over the period of the last 3 years, the divisions, the violence,
the disenchantment
with our society, whether it's between blacks and whites, between the poor and the more affluent, or between age groups or on the war in Vietnam, that we can start to work together. We are a great country and a compassionate country.
I'd love to watch that guy
speak. To make that my basis for running over the next few months.
Don't you go dying on you.
So I thank all of you who did all of the work at the precinct level, who got out the vote, who did all of the effort to brought forward.
What a precinct. I was a
campaign manager 8 years ago. I know what a difference that kind of an effort and that kind of commitment makes. My thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago. Let's win there.
See you on Friday.
Thank you.
See you on Friday.
Right after the speech was over, I got off the platform through the waiter doors, and Bob was taken off the back.
Look at Rosie Greer doing nothing.
The plan was that after he spoke, my job was to take the senator over to the ballroom. We had a mariachi band that was waiting there for him.
What the hell happened that night?
Mariachi band.
And then one of our staff, they caught my arm and said, "Hey, Dolores, what happened? You're supposed to be taking him to the ballroom." I said, "They're taking him to the kitchen."
Wait, pause.
So
it's her fucking fault.
Easily.
She's supposed to take him to the ballroom for the stupid mariachi
band. She's in on it. Does Alan know that she's in on it?
I don't know.
I'll have to ask him when we get him on in the 100th year.
Well, when you talk to him.
I will.
When you vet him.
Exactly.
For the first time.
I'm ready to blame the bus boy. It's her fucking fault.
Yeah.
I'm going to send her a letter today. Or an email.
Not my fault.
Up with the senator after that.
He is now moving out of the ballroom with Ethel, his wife. And there is one more little chore for him before Chicago. He's going on to New York, where he faces several delegate contests there, 123, I believe.
When they got down to the bottom of the stairs behind the platform, I was standing in the kitchen.
Right, let's go already. Shoot him.
Bob came through the door.
You never know what goes on in the kitchen.
Behind Bob, as he was shaking hands with a couple of workers in the kitchen.
Get out of here!
Bobby came to the kitchen. I could see that he was reaching out to everybody.
It's all their fault.
I remember saying to myself, "Reach as far as you can to make sure you don't miss shaking his hand." Once I felt his strong shake, I let go. That's when I heard a noise.
And when Bobby turns, I heard the pops.
Wait, why the?
I thought they were firecrackers.
Why'd the picture go bad?
I heard like da 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 da.
At that point,
sounds like music to her.
I saw flashes of light and started trembling violently and fell on the floor.
Are you okay?
Are you doing okay?
Is that possible?
Oh my God.
He's hurting me very badly.
There's our bus boy.
I on the floor. I thought I could go help him get up, you know, but once I stood over him, I could tell that he was in no shape of getting up, so I kneeled down and tried to separate his head from the cold concrete,
thinking that he was just knocked down.
I put my hand a little lower to his neck. I could feel the warm blood coming. I just, you know,
pause it for a second.
Believe it. Oh, my God.
Can you believe
look at his hand.
That there's a videotape of this? I mean, isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you can see the guy's hand just covered in blood.
That's Bobby's hand, too.
I know.
Can you believe it?
He didn't wash his hands either.
I just want to say,
interview
too,
of him. I'm serious. He said he was on the...
Yeah, he had blood on his fingernails on the bus the next day.
Some lady showed him the newspaper. It's like, that's you.
Yeah, that was the picture that everybody ran. Wow. Unreal.
Too bad he couldn't save him.
Okay, keep going a little more. Just a little.
Jeez. You never know what goes on in the kitchen.
That's when I remember that I had the rosary. I felt my rosary in my pocket and put it on his hands.
I never heard this story.
It's not going to save him.
His thumb. Then I seen his lips move. So I put my ear next to him. And I distinctly heard him say, "Is everybody okay?"
If he added that, that's okay.
Are you okay? That would be amazing if he did say that. If they consider the brain dead.
I don't know if I'm buying that.
You want to kiss me?
God, I can't believe the piano player kept playing.
Oh, great.
Oh, no, look.
Why did somebody tell him? You know, he went that way. Well, Rosie Greer tackled him, right?
I forgot.
Get the gun. Get the gun. His hand is frozen. Get his thumb. Get his thumb. Get his thumb. Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to. Get his thumb.
He's screaming about.
Hold him. Wow. Hold him.
This is amazing.
Hold him.
Take orders from you.
We don't want another Oswald.
We don't want another Oswald.
Where's Ruby?
What a dumb thing to say. I would love another Oswald. Shoot the fucking guy.
Yeah, I hear you.
He was a patsy, Drew.
To the kitchen right away.
What kind of an emergency?
I don't know, honey. There's some kind of an emergency. I don't know what happened. You know, we have a Kennedy here tonight.
You have what?
Mr. Kennedy here.
Big deal.
What? Nice 911 asshole.
Do you want me to find out where
yes,
he is?
Yes, please.
Obviously, hold he on. Wasn't rooting. He wasn't voting.
It said officer. Was he? Who is he? Just
called the 911.
I thought she could see
the 911.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
What an asshole.
Yeah. Who is that asshole? You got to find out who said
clearly
that.
Clearly looking down, I could see Robert Kennedy's eyes. There was an accepting look in his face.
How do you know?
What?
It's probably a look of, like I'm fucking dying. Yeah. Hurts like hell.
At 3400 Wilshire Boulevard, the shooting was of Senator Bob Kennedy. The suspect is in custody.
The suspect Dick. Is in our custody now.
Look at young Sir Hobbs.
We do not know who what he happened? Is.
This unknown assailant.
There is not yet an official identification of the suspect.
He refuses to make a statement of any
who's
kind.
Who's that dude?
Did you get his brother on the phone, by the way? English. Have you ever gotten
no.
him?
He's, of course,
no.
being removed to
what's his name again?
Los Angeles jail.
Mooner?
Mooner.
Mooner Sirhan. Maybe we should try him again.
What's the percentage chance that's Mooner's number?
Oh, very good. Big,
should
big,
try
big
it again?
Yeah, it's just the anniversary.
The crowd yeah. there seemed to many eyewitnesses to want to lynch him.
Oh, my.
But the police did get him into the car.
You think
there's
he,
the Hall Financial Hotline.
You think he was hypnotized?
No. His attorney
very,
made that up.
He looked very calm. Very
his
calm.
His attorney made that up.
Hypnotized?
Yeah, but that's what a lot of people were saying that.
Oh, he's just a fucking nut.
I'm just saying that he could have been hypnotized into being a patsy.
Wasn't this one of the big inspirations for the Manchurian candidate?
Correct.
Where was Lindsay Lohan?
God, that shot of him
I
being
saw a movie Lohan. Where she was at that hotel when it happened.
She was there. You're right. You didn't see her in the shot there? The
no,
crowd shot?
I didn't.
It was a cool movie. God, that shot of him being taken
I
into
really
the...
I really wanted to see it really bad.
Of him yes. being loaded into the ambulance, and there's Ethel, who's
Ethel.
Still in that beautiful
Don't
dress.
Look, Ethel!
All tan, with her five head.
Yep.
Getting in there. God, oh my...
Is that where Ray Stevens got that line from?
Possibly.
You mean the streak?
Mm-hmm.
He thought it'd be cool to streak right after Kennedy was shot at the Ambassador Hotel.
That
right
guy looks like
the
Keith Jackson.
He actually contaminated the crime area. They had a real problem prosecuting Saran.
That's up for Mooner.
Yeah. All right, Mooner.
Yeah, thinking back on that, because I was 8 when King and Kennedy were shot 2 months apart.
Yeah,
and it was the weirdest thing because I knew JFK had been killed just barely from being in school, but. It seemed like people just got shot all the time, famous people.
68, the 60s.
And then nobody told Reagan.
Please leave your name and number.
Tell him it's the anniversary,
after
group.
The tone, and we'll get back to you.
Maybe he doesn't know.
Possible.
Thank you. Hi, Mr. Sirhan. This is the Drew and Mike Show. We were calling, we were hoping to negotiate an interview with you for cash and valuable prizes. If you could just call back that 248 number. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Happy anniversary, a-hole.
Hello, once again, everyone. Your Action News reporter on the scene at the gas station. There seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Not as good as Everything is Beautiful, of course. His best song.
I thought Streaking in the Ambassador Hotel was pretty... kind of questionable taste at that time.
For some reason, my buddy UPS Terry sent me a picture of Brandon's block under construction. This is what Brandon's block looks like right now under construction.
Interesting.
Oh, wait, that's Brandon's block?
Yeah, they're redoing the road in front of my house.
Why does Maz have a picture of it?
He's obviously worried about Brandon. I don't know.
Could you bleep that plug, Brandon?
What a non sequitur.
That's using a picture of Brandon Street to get a plug-in for
getting a plug-in for
him. Yeah, you just did. Why'd you mention it?
Every time you say his name, it's a plug.
And why is it of that much interest either?
I mean, it is no interest. I just wanted to let you guys know. You like to know what I'm doing on my phone? I just looked at that picture.
Oh, that was worth it.
Okay.
Bagel's here.
You're mentioning all the eulogies for you on Twitter. Did you eulogize Kate Spade?
Today I felt terrible, man.
Did you see that story about Kate Spade?
Yeah, I did.
She hung herself?
That's David Spade's sister-in-law.
I know.
I didn't even know
that.
Is it his
sister-in-law or his sister?
Sister-in-law.
His
brother.
Yeah.
She's worth billions.
The family is worried about David Spade now, that he could be next.
What?
That's what the story is. Tabloid story I read. It could send him in a spiral.
I don't think he's anywhere close to a spiral.
No.
I'd be more worried about his brother, who's married to her.
Exactly. But he's not famous.
Oh, I see.
Or the 13-year-old daughter that they had. Kennedy's very torn up because she has a Kate Spade bag.
Oh. Chelsea Clinton bought a Kate Spade bag when she was a teenager, and she still has it.
Oh, fascinating.
And she wishes the family, her thoughts and prayers are with the Spade family.
Did she say... Hi, Spade family. Sorry for your loss today. Have a great day.
She did not.
Every tweet begins
that way. I'm very surprised because it was a tweet.
Did you know that, Tom? Any mean tweet she sends out would say like...
From listening to the
show.
Hi,
Tom.
Last week I heard you talk about her. Yes.
Hi, Tom. Please send that shirt to the guy you promised it to. Thanks. Have a great day.
By the way, Paul has heard us on Facebook and has indeed sent his phone number if you do want to call.
Paul.
The t-shirt. Guy, Paul.
Oh, he has.
Yeah,
okay.
So if you do want to call him, I think we might have to
call him after Keith gave.
Okay, but I do right now. I need to collect some money from you guys because the pizza's on its way here.
Well, I thought that was paid for.
It is, but don't you want to tip the guy? We're having a nice dinner and everything.
Wouldn't it be easier for one person to tip instead of collecting money from everyone for a tip on how much is the total?
I paid last week. I figured maybe you guys could chip
with
in
a gift card.
I didn't. I paid with my own cash last week.
What's the total of the purchase?
Like $25.
How much do you want to tip?
$2?
You're concerned about pulling five
bucks. Hey, kiss my ass, bitch. I'm paying you shit.
I mean, instead of collecting 90 cents from five people or 80 cents
from six
people that are here.
I really didn't want you to take the money out. I really wanted Mark to take the money out, but you just let him off the hook again. You enabled him.
I would have tipped if you wanted me to tip.
You wouldn't give me a tip.
Why wouldn't I?
You never pay.
The money's on the dresser,
baby. I bring McDonald's. I bring stuff. I never get any money from you.
Have I ever bought food for the podcast?
I've never gotten
Zooves, Brandon, have I ever bought food for the podcast?
Maybe when I'm not around.
I think everybody's contributed, but Trudy contributes on a level that goes beyond everybody.
And she's the hungriest, though, and she eats the most.
Well, you do too, though, Drew.
Now, back in the day, Jay used to do a pretty nice job with the food.
That's true.
Yeah, he would keep everything stocked.
He's got really good carryout, too. Speaking of, popcorn, foosball, massage chairs, smiling faces, and free Jeep Wrangler loaner cars is exactly what you'll get when you get your next vehicle from Zot M59 Chrysler Jeep. You heard right. When you bring your vehicle in for service at Zot Chrysler Jeep, they will give you a new Jeep Wrangler for free to drive until yours is fixed. Something you will not find at any other Jeep dealer in town, period. Plus, during Zot's Jeep Celebration event, you can lease a new loaded Jeep Compass Limited 4x4 at just $198 a month. I'll say it again. Lease a loaded Jeep Compass Limited 4x4 drive, four-wheel drive. One more time. Loaded Jeep Compass Limited four-wheel drive at $198 a month. Surf the rest of their sick deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
I can read it.
Hall Financial is a big supporter of the show. They've been with us from day one, just like our Zot friends. And if you're buying a home, considering refinancing, want to take some cash out of your home, anything to do with a home loan, contact our friend David Hall. The Hall Financial logo is on the Drew Mike Podcast webpage. Just click on it, fill out the online form. It's that simple. click on the Hall Financial logo on the Droneck Podcast webpage, and it will tell them to contact you after you fill out the online form, or call 248-308-5000. Make sure you tell them Drew and Mike sent you. Big reason to call or click today: home improvements, shorten the term of your loan, or if you want to buy a new home with little money down. David Hall and his team have all the programs you're looking for. And with interest rates creeping up, some people are not refining, or they feel it's out of their range, but some people are scrambling to get a refi in the possibility that rates will go up even more. Maz, you got in.
I did. I gave David's number to a couple of people this week.
I think just about everyone in the show has tried to refi, and in most cases been successful. But honestly, if you haven't refinanced, you might want to do it soon. Restrictions apply. Michigan licensed broker lender, NMLS number 1467435, equal housing lender. And Keith Gave is just minutes away, and I'm going to heat up my coffee. I'll be right back.
Keith Gave, formerly of the Free Press and Dallas Morning News, and talking about the Russian Five. Great book out.
And with WGQRY?
Yep. KeithGave.com. And, of course, the Stanley Cup Finals. Capitals up 3-1.
It's over.
To Vegas.
I don't watch
sports TV. I didn't know he was in Michigan. I thought Keith was still in Dallas. Oh, has he been back here a long time?
Back home. Not sure. We'll have to ask him. Have you been watching the Stanley Cup?
A little bit here and there, but not as much as I have in the past. I don't know. Ever since the Red Wings sucked.
Well, you've been here. You're here a lot.
Yeah, that's true. But it's a bummer that you don't get to see that team that's been good your entire life. You know.
What happened to your conspiracy theory that the NHL wanted Vegas to win?
Yeah, what happened to that?
You know, speaking of which.
They got him there.
Last night, as I'm going to bed, I was doing stuff on the computer. I'm like, I just want something on the TV. So I put SportsCenter on.
Yeah. Van Pelt SportsCenter?
No, God, it was after that. But put on SportsCenter thinking that I know I can look it up on my phone or the computer, whatever the score was, but I just wanted something on, thinking that they might show highlights of the hockey game.
Yeah, they're live.
Some commentary. They did a story on the Tigers-Yankees doubleheader because it was on ESPN.
And Judge struck out 8 times.
They talked about that. Ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. Then they talked about the Eagles.
Yep.
Then they previewed
LeBron
the NBA playoffs. Then they talked about the
World Series, College World Series,
women's college softball World Series. Then they went back to the Tigers and Yankees.
Wow.
That's the span of a half hour.
Wow.
I'm like, you're not.
No Stanley Cup in that half hour?
It blew my mind.
You know, they got Levy out there and Barry Melrose.
Of course. Well, I know they're doing some coverage of it somewhere, but at night, that was how their story stacked. And I just, when they went to the College Softball World Series, I'm like,
that sold it for you.
This is ridiculous. Yeah. And, you know, we've talked about that all the time, how they're just going to show you whatever they had. It's bullshit, though.
Agreed.
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
Bullshit.
And that's, to me, what is the biggest bullshit about ESPN is that it's not a true sports agenda, as in what's most important, what's next important, what's next most important.
It's what they have on.
Yeah, it's what they have on.
I thought that was weird. The only baseball they covered was because they had the Yankees-Tigers game.
Right.
No other baseball.
Plus, Judge struck out 8 times. You don't see that very often.
No.
I can't believe they
hold. Because of doubleheader.
I just can't believe they hold true credibility with true sports fans.
They do,
especially hockey. What, really?
Yeah. What else are you going to watch?
SportsCenter?
What else are you going to watch?
I can get sports anywhere.
I know, but wait, on TV, are you going to put on FSN, Fox? What are you going to put on? Fox Sports 1?
I don't think I would get
sports.
I don't think I would choose to get sports. I don't think I would choose to get my sports information from SportsCenter because they have their own agenda. I would rather just look it up.
But that's what I'm saying. I just had it on because I wanted background noise while I was doing stuff on the computer.
I always loved the people of sports, but I've loved sports all of my life.
How could you not talk about the Stanley Cup Finals? How could you possibly not talk
in a half an hour's time? That's bad.
A joke.
That's bad.
But they rejected hockey years ago, and they've.
Send a team there. They send Barry Melrose, Steve Levy.
But I learned that the Florida State women's softball team has the most appearances in the World Series without winning one.
How much interest is there in that? Really?
Seriously. Zero.
I mean, honestly, what a joke.
One person has interest in it.
Even Gabara makes fun of me what I put on TV at Zot Ford. Because I'm always looking for a game to put on. So the other day I had the College World Series on because there was nothing else on.
Yes.
And he's like, no one gives a damn about this. I'm like, I understand that, but what else do you want me to put on? The Cooking Network?
Now that the Chew is gone.
It's gone? Is it gone?
Yeah. Yeah, the Chew, they got rid of it because of Mario Batali.
Oh, but that, that's great.
I joke that that's the show that's on every waiting room at car dealerships and dentist offices.
Worst
everywhere.
Half hour of television.
Now, is it a repeat
it's
right
harmless.
Now? Are they repeats?
I don't know.
Because I've seen it still on our.
I haven't been to the dentist lately.
In our area.
It's the only time I ever watched it.
Not change the subject from sports, but did you guys see Janet Jackson called 911?
Yeah, child or welfare.
Yeah. You know why she called 911?
Why did she wanted them to check up on the baby? Because he hadn't called her. No, he posted something online.
Because her nanny didn't have Wi-Fi.
Wait, what?
She has a nanny who apparently stays with the child, and the nanny didn't have Wi-Fi.
Called 911?
And she called 911. And it has something to do with, I didn't even understand it, to be honest.
Is that part of the agreement that he must always have Wi-Fi?
I guess so.
That is utterly hilarious.
But TMZ, which...
Did they have the 911 call?
I just broke the internet.
No, they didn't. But maybe, can you look for it? That'd be fun to hear.
I'd love to hear.
Her brother apparently decided
Randy?
That the story wasn't good enough. So he said... I think it was Randy.
It was Randy.
So I think he said that...
I know it was Randy because when I saw the headline, I went, oh, Randy Jackson from American Idol. It was the other one.
No, that is truly the Randy Jackson to most people now. But
call 911.
I think Randy said the child was in danger or something. Or
because of no.
I know. He probably didn't even know. He probably was just trying to go, well, I'm a Jackson, so I am up on that story. And yes, the child is in some kind of danger.
It is one. The kid's not in danger. If anything, it's probably better off that the nanny can't get on Wi-Fi and just look at Instagram while she's supposed to be watching the brat.
Well, they went on to say, I'm not sure who is saying this, but that when you have a child with a billionaire from a foreign country, that there are a lot of problems because there's a lot of demands on both sides. I mean, not that Janet Jackson has no power, but this guy is a billionaire. And he's not living in America.
Wait,
so
doesn't she have Wi-Fi on her phone? Can't she get, you know, cell phone service?
The kid was with him.
Wait, but the nanny didn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, the nanny didn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, doesn't she have a smartphone with tethering?
I don't know. God. I'm really confused.
People have no resources.
Should we watch the coverage? Because the story was it's Keith Gabe time anyway.
Uh-oh.
I'm glad because
when we're done.
I was pretty happy with my coverage of it.
Well, your coverage was good, but we can't go back to it.
I think TMZ is just going to actually.
I got to find the 911.
Agree with what I said.
What's going on at Capone's? That's by my house.
Get Man was killed there.
Oh, that was an awful story.
What happened?
Yeah, it's terrible. I'll tell you after Keith Gabe. Remind me.
You got to remember.
The most important thing is that it's near Tom's house.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. It was a bit of a non sequitur, Maz. Turn off the TV screen.
You know that guy?
You know that dude? You know that guy?
I do.
He's the guy that's dead.
Keith, you there? Hey, Keith.
Like Keith Gabe?
Keith?
Keith.
She was in the house with Keith. Keith Gabe. Giving Keith head while the kid was in the house.
I don't know why that drop of OJ describing that it's his car, but he lets her use it. That one
makes sense.
It's so funny.
Brandon, what game was this again? I love this game. I know it was the hockey game, but what was it called?
Blades of Steel.
Blades of Steel.
Hello?
Is that Keith?
Yes.
Keith Gabe, how you doing? It's Drew and Mark and Maz.
How you doing, guys?
Hey,
great,
Keith.
Great. And Brandon is here, too. Brandon may be the biggest hockey fan of all of us, so hopefully he'll jump in. How you been?
I've been good. How you doing? This podcast going great, huh?
Yeah, I think it's going great. I mean,
I hear great things about it. Everybody tells me about it. So
sweet.
I'm excited to spend a little time with you here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you.
And you know, I got the book, and I'm thinking, wow, Keith is a big time author now. I know you've written books before, haven't you?
You know, no, I haven't
this
really.
Is your first
I've
book.
Had opportunities to, but and I've been part of some of the books that the Free Press has put out over the years. But this is the first time I. Actually drove the bus on a book. Another book that's out is called Hockey Town Doc, written by Doc Finley, who was the Wings physician for 47 years. Yeah. I edited his book, helped him put his book together a couple years ago, and that's probably what got me started working on my own damn book.
Well, what I did not know was that you actually traveled to deliver information to Sergei Fedorov and Vladimir Konstantinov regarding the fact that they've been drafted by the Wings, and sort of a little more information that
liaison,
maybe, yeah, that couldn't really be made public, and you slipped it in a media guide. I didn't know you were intimately involved in the business of the Russians coming over here. The book's called The Russian Five, by the way. I had no idea.
It's buried for a long time, guys. I wasn't able to tell that story until now. I waited till I got out of the business before I could tell it. But yeah, you know, when the Wings made a little history themselves by drafting Sergei Fedorov in the fourth round in '89, the highest Soviet-born player that had ever been drafted. Then they took a flyer on another guy who we all know and love, Vladimir Konstantinov, in the 11th round. The Berlin Wall was still standing. The Iron Curtain was there. They had no way of getting these guys over here. They had no idea how to even get a message to these guys to let them know they had been drafted by the Detroit Red Wings. These are pre-internet days, don't forget. So they asked me to go over and pass along a message to these guys when they were training in Helsinki, Finland. Jim Leitz, the former son-in-law of Mike and Marion Ilitch, and the executive vice president of the team, asked me to do them a favor, and I said no. Ooh. And he said, well, we'll give you a lot of money. And we're talking a lot of money, life-changing Ooh. Money for a guy on a meager sports writer salary at the time in 1989. And I still said no because I kind of like my job at the Free Press and I didn't want to put it in jeopardy.
Wait, no, I guess you could not go to the Free Press and say, hey, I've got an opportunity to make some outside money, because they would have said no.
They would have said absolutely not. You can't do any favors for the team you covered. Are you kidding me? And if you're going to go over there, we're going to pay your way, and you're going to write the story for the Free Press and on and on and on. And frankly, we're not going to send you over there for that story now. If it happens, it happens, and we'll write it then. But the Free Press just wouldn't have gone for it. And, you know, what I wound up doing, Drew, was I came home talking about it with my wife and so on. It was such a good story and a kind of a neat opportunity. I'd spent 6 years in the intelligence business working for the NSA. You never got close to a kind of a cloak and dagger assignment like this. And, you know, I called Lights back and I said, there might be a way we can do this. And he said, how's that? And I said, I'm not going to take a dime. I don't want your money. I'll pay my own expenses over there. I'll pass along your message on one condition. He said, what's that? And I said, when Sergei Fedorov comes over here, when these guys, whenever you're able to get them over here, I want to be your first phone call. You call me first before you call anybody else. I want the news first for readers of the Detroit Free Press. I want first interview with them. I want first dibs on anything to do with these Russians. And he said, deal. And a couple days later, I was on my way to Helsinki, Finland, passed along messages to those two guys.
Wow. Okay. And what were the particulars of passing along the message? Because you always see stories that you have to go here and then go there and see a mark on a postal box.
here's the thing. I wrote the letters to Vladdy and to Sergei, basically with the details that Lights wanted to pass along, that we'll pay you Steve Eiserman kind of money if you decide to defect and come over here and play with the Detroit Red Wings. We've already helped a guy named Peter Klima defect from Czechoslovakia, so we kind of know the game a little bit. We'll help you in any way possible. We'll pay your family $25,000 a year for as long as you're members of the Detroit Red Wings, and so on and so on. I wrote these letters, and I had to get, I got the little media guys out. Remember the old media guys, about 5 by 8, about a half inch thick, and I tucked them into there, and they were kind of a little bit bulky. I was a little concerned that they might be spotted before I was able to get a chance to get these guys. But I landed in the Helsinki airport at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a game at 7 o'clock somewhere. I had to find that hockey game, get into the arena and find somebody who, you know, one of the promoters of the game who would get me down and actually get me an interview with these guys. I use the word interview in air quotes, if you want, just to meet these guys. And I threw myself on the mercy of anybody in the airport who spoke English. And finally, one guy at the currency exchange says, oh, yeah, he said, one of our club teams is playing against the Soviet national team tonight. And he told me where it was, told me where there was a hotel nearby. And I got in a cab, went to the hotel, showered up, changed clothes, walked across the park. And I got there just as the Soviets were getting off their bus and going into the arena to play the game. By the But a second period, I found a promoter who got me down after the game to meet with Sergei Fedorov. I let them know I was a reporter with a newspaper in Detroit. The Detroit Red Wings had drafted these two guys, and I'd like to meet them and maybe interview them a little bit. And so the guy said, yeah, sure, we can do that. And he took me down to...
That was easy.
Downstairs to where the players were. It's unlike the North America where reporters just walk into the dressing room and start chatting up players. You know, they brought both these guys out. I got to tell you, they brought them like they yanked them right out of the showers. They were still dripping wet. They had white towels around their waist. I had Sergei Fedorov on my right, Vladimir Konstantinov on my left. They're wondering what the hell they're doing there with this guy, who speaks bad Russian and from Detroit of all places. I had to explain what I was doing there.
Wasn't there somebody kind of watching over them too at the same time?
Thanks for reminding me. While this is going on, about 8 or 10 feet down, I see some guy leaning forward, kind of looking at me, looking at what I was trying to do. I showed Sergei, he was here. You are number four on Detroit's list of draftees, and there you are, Vladdy, number 11, right here. And I found out later that's the first time either one of them had heard that they had been drafted by me.
Really?
But this guy keeps looking at me, and he's looking at me. He's giving me the evil eye, and I figured out right away that he's their KGB guy. He's the bag man, or the guy who has got to make sure that every player who left the Soviet Union to come to Helsinki for their training camp goes back to the Soviet Union when they're done. There's nobody's going to defect on his watch. At the very end, I gave them their media guides with the messages in it. And I I'm talking to him a little bit. I said, look, this is obviously not a good time to do an interview. I'll call you guys and do a more formal interview later. I just don't want to introduce myself, let you know who I am and so on. And while I'm talking, kind of wrapping this thing up, Sergei's looking down and he starts thumbing through the little media guide, sees the message there. And I'm thinking, oh, shoot, and he just kind of puts it behind his back very nonchalantly. And I quickly wrapped it up, and I basically said goodbye, thank you very much, I'll see you later, all the best to you, and left. And then I walked around the city of Helsinki for about 3 hours looking over my shoulder to make sure I wasn't being followed by somebody.
Woo! Wow. And did you said that Sergei was very stone-faced and very poker-faced, whereas Vladdy was super excited when you showed him he was a draft pick.
Yeah, that was the cool part of it. I mean, Sergei, I think I might have even wrote in the book, be a great poker player because he showed no emotion at all when he saw his name there on Detroit's list. Vladdy was like the kid who got the shiny blue bike for Christmas. And frankly, Vladimir is the one that they worried about me passing the message along to because if you remember, he was the captain of the Soviet national team, captain of the Red Army Club. He succeeded Slava Fetisov as captain of those teams. And he was married with a child. This guy was locked into the system for like 25 years as a captain in the Soviet Red Army. And so we were taking a kind of a little bit of a chance by passing that message along to him. It turns out he was a guy willing to fake cancer to get out of the military.
Wow.
Detroit bribed a bunch of doctors and gave one of the doctors a big Chevrolet Caprice because he wanted the biggest American car that they made. The Wings bought him a big Chevy Caprice, sent that over there, and they got six doctors to sign off that Vladdy had a inoperable sarcoma, no chance of recovery. We don't know how to fix it. You might as well let him out of the army because he's going to die soon. He's certainly not going to play hockey for you very long. And they let him out of the military, and then he hopped in a train and went to Budapest, Hungary, with his wife and daughter, and that's when lights with Mike Ilitch's airplane met him and brought him over. It was
what
pretty
a story.
Vladimir Konstantinov story is all by itself. Every one of these guys is a made for Hollywood movie, but Vladimir Konstantinov is the most compelling story. And of course, we all know that he wound up in the limo accident and so on. And
sad.
Otherwise would be in the Hall of Fame today.
With Fetisov, obviously. And how many years after the Devils took Fetisov did the Red Wings go after these guys?
Fetisov and Larionov were the first. They kind of let the old guys go. Fetisov and Larionov actually stood up to that regime and basically helped kick down the Iron Curtain. The Soviets let the old guys go. So Fetisov wound up in 89 coming to New Jersey. and Larry Olive went to Vancouver. And then, you know, the Wings by then had drafted Konstantinov and Fedorov and Kozlov. They drafted in the third round in 1990. So they're the three young guys. Then Scotty Bowman comes to town, and he gives up a third-round draft pick for an old defenseman who wasn't playing in New Jersey. Slavov Tisov turned out to be a pretty good player. And then he gives up a 50-goal scorer to San Jose, a guy named Ray Shepard, for Igor Larionov. Now he's got five of them. He throws them over the boards in Calgary on October 27th, 1995. And change the history, change the game forever from that moment on.
And that is the name of the book, The Russian Five, story of espionage, defection, bribery encouraged by Keith Gave. And Keith, one thing that surprised me was in the note that you had to write, and you spoke Russian, so you were kind of the guy that could pull this off, I guess. They included the fact that they wanted to pay them $250,000, correct?
Yeah, they were going to. That's what they were paying Steve Yzerman at the time. And you know, and you got to remember that was the late 1980s when that was still pretty big money in the NHL.
Still sounds like a lot.
They were willing to pay Sergei Fedorov exactly what they were paying Steve Yzerman, and same with Vladimir Konstantinov. I mean, these guys were world class players, just approaching the primes of their career. And
were you surprised that they would give you that information to give to them? I mean, first of all, it's a lot of money, and second of all, just it seems like a real. I guess there's no other way. I mean, that was the way to pull them over, right? I mean,
absolutely. I mean, I talked to Sergei many years later, I asked him if he remembers that letter that I passed along to him in Helsinki, and he said, "Oh yeah, I remember that." And I said, my Russian wasn't really great. I said, you understood everything okay, right? And he said, I understood the numbers.
and 25 grand for their families too, right?
And which was huge, huge money. I mean, you could live like billionaires back in the Soviet Union in those days on $25,000 a year. Now, not so much, but then it was real, real good money. That they were willing to pay those families for as long as their kids were members of the Detroit Red Wings.
And Keith, you used to be fluent in Russian, you write, and you had to brush up on it. Was that you were in the Army, and you said you worked for the NSA? Did you do a lot of spying while you were in the Army?
Well, yeah, that's what my job was, but it was a different kind of spying. Listen, I went to Russian language school in December. I mean, in 1971. And the only reason I did that was to stay out of Vietnam. I was drafted by Richard Nixon in December of 1970. I was going to go to Vietnam like everybody else, every other young guy of my generation who was drafted. Mm-hmm. There was no getting around it. There were 500,000 troops over there then. And I didn't want to go. And so I enlisted in the Army for 4 years to go to Russian language school in Monterey, California, because I knew that it would keep me out of Southeast Asia. So I went to what I wound up doing was going to Russian language school. I studied Russian 6 hours a day, 5 days a week for a year. And then I went to an intelligence school, a spy school in Texas, learned what I was going to do with the language. Then I went to West Berlin when the wall was still there and worked out of a building that looked like something out of a James Bond movie with dishes and satellites and everything, a state-of-the-art spy station. And what we did was sit in little dark rooms with headsets on, basically eavesdropping on Soviet troops, Soviet pilots flying in and out of the city, and basically everything Russian, East German, Polish, Czechoslovakian, Romanian, Hungarian, all those different East Bloc countries, basically keeping an eye on the bad guys.
Wow, that's fascinating. What
did you wear your cowboy boots, by the way, in Russia? you're always famous for your cowboy boots here.
I might have. Yes, I did, as a matter of fact.
You asked Sergei about that letter. What did he do with the letter? Did he have to throw it away right away? Or
I never did find out from either of them what they did with those messages. I think they probably got rid of them pretty quickly.
Yeah.
They kept the business cards I gave them and so on, I'm sure. But they wound up, Sergei made the first contact with a guy over there, another operative, turned out to be another sports writer, as a matter of fact, a guy who had written a story about him for Pravda, the newspaper, who Sergei trusted enough to say, hey, I got this letter. I don't know what to do with it, but I'd like a little bit of help, making contact with the people I need to get in touch with. to maybe go over there one day. That's kind of how it all started, and the story's in the book.
Hey, does any of this happen, NHL signing the Russians without the Miracle on Ice in 80?
Well, the NHL was expanding from 21 to 30 teams at that time, you guys, and they needed players. And Devilano, give Jim Devilano credit, the general manager of the Wings at the time. They're trying to build a team around Steve Yzerman. They're not going to draft North Americans or Finns and Swedes. There's just not enough of them to go around. They knew where the greatest players in the game were, and that was behind the Iron Curtain in Russia. I think what eventually happened, the Wings might have just made it happen a little quicker.
I know you turned down the money that they offered you to go do it, and you couldn't tell anybody. Did the Free Press ever know? Did your bosses ever know, like, once they were over here about any of that? Or when did they find out?
Probably when I wrote the book.
Really?
I kept that stuff buried for a long, long time. The one really, I screwed up once. It was 11 months after I was over there in August of 89. July of 1990, I'm having my dinner at home. I was living in Dearborn at the time, and my telephone rang, and it was Jim Leitz. And he said, "Keith?" And I said, "Yeah, this is Jim Leitz. Hi, Jim. How you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm on an airplane coming back from Portland, Oregon, and then Mitch Gerilich is playing. Guess who's sitting next to me?" And I said, "Who would that be?" And he said, "Sergei Fedorov." I shoved my plate away. I grabbed my notebook. I started taking some notes, looking at my watch, knowing that I'm going to have to type real, real fast to make the first edition deadline. Hung up the phone, typed my butt off for, 20 minutes or so, and got that story in the first edition of the Detroit Free Press. So one of the things I did when I was writing the story, I described the weather. It was kind of a sultry summer evening. And a copy editor, an eagle-eyed copy editor, and we had some good ones at the Free Press, calls me and asks me, "How do I know it was a sultry summer evening in Helsinki when, somebody passed along that message?" And I felt like I was busted for a second. And I said, I talked to somebody who talked to that person who was over there, and that's how I knew. But if you want to edit it out of there, go ahead. I don't care. But I kind of overwrote the description of my visit there and almost got busted there. But nobody knew anything until wound up in the book. And I was, frankly, guys, I was a little bit worried. I knew I was on ethical thin ice, but the Detroit Free Press, my alma mater, ran 5 weeks of excerpts of that book leading up to the premiere of the documentary, The Russian Five, in April. And, so I like to feel like all was forgiven, if there was anything to forgive.
How's the book doing, Keith?
Book's doing good. It's in its fourth printing. It's selling selling out everywhere. It's an Amazon bestseller. It's been translated into Russian. It's a bestseller in Russia right now. So it's far exceeded any expectations I had for it.
Has it exceeded the money that the Red Wings would have paid you?
Oh, not even close. No.
Really?
No.
Wow.
No.
All right, ballpark it. How much?
The only thing I heard when he's described this is six figures. I was going to make, they were going to pay me six figures. That was a lot of dough.
Yzerman six figures back then?
Pardon me?
Was it the Yzerman six figures?
No, it wasn't quite. No. I'm guessing, six figures starts at 100 grand. Yeah. That was a lot of money.
It's still a lot of money.
But, yeah, it's still a lot of money.
Then it was a lot of money.
And a free trip to Europe.
Keith Gave, The Russian Five, the book that's doing so well, and it really is a personal story. And there's been so much about The Russian Five, it seems like, in the last couple of years. And honestly,
it's a different angle.
It's a phenomenon. It's a very different angle. And when I opened the book, I realized it right away because I was like, not The Russian Five story. But I really was enjoying it, Keith, and I want to dig in even more. And the stories are fantastic. And we have to ask you about the Stanley Cup Finals. Is it over? The Caps going to wrap it up?
I think so. It's a good story either way. I was really, really excited for my buddy Gerard Gallant. A lot of people remember him from Detroit.
He did a great job.
He was attached to the hip with Steve Yzerman for about 7 years. One of the finest, best people I've ever met in a sports dressing room, Gerard Gallant. Great guy. And, he was gone when the Wings started making those trips to the finals and so on. Yep. And he's gotten awfully close now. But, Alex Ovechkin, Very, very good player, taking a beating from, you know, so many. He's kind of like this. Steve Yzerman took all those beatings for years before Yzerman won a Stanley Cup in his 14th year. Ovechkin knows how he feels. He's been in it for 13 years now and been disappointed so often. You know, it'll be good to see him raise the Stanley Cup if that happens too, and I think it probably will.
Hey, Brandon, do you want to ask a hockey question? You want to ask him about the finals or about the Russian Five or about anything?
Is there another Russian Five that we can get?
No, I said Brandon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, is just every single GM just caught on now? I mean, is that all it is? And the Red Wings don't have a chance to go and grab some talent that nobody else is looking at?
No, you know, that's a good point, really.
Thank you.
The Red Wings had so much success early on, and starting in the late 1980s, they had a really good European scout over there named Christer Rockström, who got stolen by the New York Rangers. And then the Wings hired a guy named Håkan Andersson, who's been there for 25, 26, 27 years now. You know, the Wings built a scouting staff in Europe, and they had great success finding European players. But all 31 teams now in the league have big European staff. You can't sneak a guy out in the sixth or seventh round like Detroit was doing in the late 90s. You just can't do that anymore. There are too many scouts over there.
They have to find the new Russia, which is clearly going to be North Korea. I mean, they had a great hockey team in the Olympics.
China, Japan, yeah, who knows?
Well, Keith, congratulations on the book. It's great to talk to you. I'm glad to know you're back in Michigan doing your thing up there. And I hope it keeps up for you. It sounds like you're really off to great things with us. Maybe you'll surpass the Red Wing money one of these days.
You will.
Thank you, Drew. Thank you very much. And keep up the good work with what you're doing there. It's pretty exciting to see what you guys are doing.
Thank you, Keith.
Thanks,
hope we talk to you soon.
You bet.
We'll see you.
Take care.
Oh,
bye-bye.
My God, Brass Bonanza. Oh, I love the song. This was the Whalers song, Keith. Drew?
The Whalers song?
Whalers, when they scored a goal.
Oh, my God, who cares?
They would play this Brass Bonanza.
You mean the New England Whalers?
The Hartford Whalers,
the Hartford Whalers.
New England slash Hartford Whalers. Brandon, pump it up a little.
No, don't.
Gordy Howe played for the Whalers.
He did. Is that the Howe Boys.
Is that when he made the All-Star team?
Yes.
Was it the Whalers?
Yes.
Wait, the Howe Boys?
He also played for the Vipers.
Yeah. That's right.
I was there.
One period. No, less than a period.
Jose was the same night as the Tyson fight.
Tyson Gulaber. Amazing how quick they put their ring on the ice.
I know.
Maz, did he play in the All-Star game at Joliet Arena as a member of the Hartford Whalers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. That was the first year of
ovation that would not end at Joe Louis Arena.
First year of the Joe. Right.
Love sports all of my life.
That was great talking hockey. I felt like I was on a sports station.
I know. It was almost like we were a sports podcast all of a sudden.
Thank you.
It's really strange. That's an incredible story, though.
That's
amazing. In the book, it's even more detailed. I was reading them going, did this really happen? He really carried financial numbers to them and $25,000 a year for their family.
How
and
the KGB
it's in this
guy.
Little media guide.
Well, what are the odds that a sports writer for that team would have known Russian and worked over there?
Well, that's why they
Europe.
They that's why they picked Keith. I know it is. It's really bizarre.
I wanted to ask
it's
him incredible. Too. You know how sports writers can be if. Some people were like, hey, why is he getting all the good interviews with the Wings? Like, did he get
well,
fed
he,
a lot
yeah,
of interviews?
Yeah, he did get a lot. He did, very much so. I don't know.
Keith getting all these interviews?
Keith. I don't know how that worked down the road, but at least they came through on that.
Keith, fair.
Yeah, I would imagine his competing writers at Detroit News would not have been real happy about that story had they known it at the time.
I was also thinking, too, he's talking about the ethics of journalism. Today, they would have done it in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
In a heartbeat, they would have taken the money and gone.
They would have filmed the interview with their phone.
Yeah, and then tweeted about it.
Yeah.
I just handed Sergei Fedorov a note. He's going to be a Red Wing.
Next tweet, Sergei Fedorov's dead.
Thanks, Gabe.
Just think how good the Wings would have been if Vladdy stayed healthy instead of that tragedy.
I know.
Disgusting tragedy. What him and Slava.
I don't know. That's...
Period.
Think about that. He was dominating, and he was young.
I can't believe... That's, to me... Okay, they win the first Stanley Cup in 50 years. The whole town is nuts.
Yeah.
And how many nights after they won the Cup?
2 days.
2 days? A limousine with two players and a trainer crashes into a tree and...
Thanks a lot, Gnida.
Matisov was pretty much okay, but the...
Matsukanov
and the best defensemen are in a coma.
Yep.
And they were never the same.
Never. And look what happened over the years. And then the following year when they won in Washington and Vladdy was there and they brought him out on the ice. I got lucky. I was lucky enough to be there traveling with the team.
What? Not you, sweetheart.
I was on the ice that
night.
Is that why you brought it up?
WJR press pass?
That's not why. Yeah, I had a WJR press pass. Matter of fact, if you look at YouTube, you could find a video of me. If I'm standing behind Scotty Bowman as they're interviewing him. And you'll see me with the WJR mic flag, and I was so proud to hold the WJR mic flag up.
Were you the only representative of WJR?
It was me, Courtney, and Dickerson.
Oh, so you could kind of slack?
Well, yeah, that was my turn to get the interviews. So I had to set the interviews up. So I had to go down and get the people to come to our little booth area.
Oh, you guys had a booth
yeah.
in Washington?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well.
And Ken Cowell and Paul Woods were there. Woodsy is
so the
hilarious
thing,
to hang
the
with.
The important thing to take away
I was there.
From the last 20 minutes right. is that Tom was there.
Yes. It ain't all about you, sweetheart.
And it was phenomenal. And what a great treat that was.
Treat.
For me.
For you.
Were you guys live from Washington the next morning?
We were live that night. Matter of fact, Chuck Swirsky was anchoring in Detroit, and he wanted us to keep going. And Courtney and Dickerson were like, "We're getting out of here. We're going to have some beers. Tell Swirsky's on his own."
How late were you guys on?
What a square Swirsky is.
So we kind of told him, "Hey, they're turning the lights out here, Chuck. We got to go."
How late were you on with Swirsk?
We were on probably till 1 in the morning.
What?
Yeah.
Till 1 in the morning? Who's listening at 1 in the
morning? Maybe midnight.
Oh, sounds like
we were
a
Red Wing station at the time. So we were the show.
But the game was over at 10:30.
It was us and WDFN at the time. Those were the only two sports stations.
Yeah.
And JR was obviously news talk sports.
And DFN had no signal at night.
DFN had no signal. I'm trying to fill you in on the history of AM, and this is what
oh
you got to.
God,
this is how I get treated.
The history of you in AM.
You know, it's funny. I was listening to WLS in Chicago because Steve Dahl is still on WLS.
Yeah.
And I'm driving under a tunnel, and of course the signal goes, and I'm like, "Hey, what happened?" Because I'm so used to listening to satellite and FM. I haven't listened to AM radio since I don't know when. I'm like,
AM radio is a viable and modern source for news and entertainment.
Where the hell's this? What happened to WLS? And then I realized, oh. I'm listening to AM radio.
Now, Sirius usually
soon
goes out.
AM radio will reign king once more.
Sirius goes out on me when I pull into the bank drive-thru. It dies in the bank drive-thru. Sirius,
really? Yeah, Sirius will die sometimes.
Yeah, Sirius dies.
In a tunnel. I remember when I was at WROV, 1240 WROV. The station that you've grown up with is growing up with you.
Wow, that's great. That's what a creepy. Jingle.
I know, what a great sweeper. But anyway, I remember when they were ballyhooing, "Hey, AM stereo's coming out."
Oh, cool.
AM stereo sucked. It never sounded like FM stereo.
You heard all it was that a joke. On the radio.
I'll never forget. I
couldn't believe it was real stereo.
When my uncle got his 1971 Oldsmobile 98, this big boat of a car, he couldn't wait to show off his brand new FM stereo with the big knobs. And he put I listened to 77 WABC. I never listened to FM, so he brought me out there and pumped up that stereo. And he was so proud. And he had just got home from Vietnam, a year or two ago before that. And
I know,
I'll never forget that.
Pussy be wearing a shit. I'd be like squirting.
And now here's podcasts.
Can you believe though that stations that had AMs and FMs made all their money on the AMs?
Yeah.
And the FMs were just kind of like, who cares about that?
How much money JR makes still?
The station I was with had an FM signal, and they pretty much gave it away to somebody. Like, nobody's going to use this FM. It's just album side. Crap. Doesn't get any ratings. And eventually, of course, it completely crushed the station that previously owned
it. Something. And now when you hear sports, you want to hear it on the FM. It sounds so bad now on the AM. It just doesn't sound right.
I don't know what the numbers are, but last I knew, 25% of Detroit even went to the AM band. I can't be that much now, can it? Can it be that many people?
No. Well,
it's going away.
Yeah, JR's got the Lions, so people want to hear the Lions. You got to put
it's
on.
It's 3 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I think in Europe, you have to pay extra to have an AM band in your car. Yeah.
Who would pay extra?
That'll happen here eventually.
I'm sure they're fighting that. Good luck with that.
Nice fight.
Good luck with that. Okay. So, I was just trying to think about what else is going on today.
Before Keith called in, Tom had to mention that bar near his house.
Yeah. Oh, why don't you mention our Lincoln dealers?
Oh, yeah.
Wrap up with that.
If you need an AM radio. and you need a new car, why don't you check out the Lincolns? Because I'm my lease is up.
Are they featuring the AM radios? Is that
featuring
part of
the AM radio?
Part of their recent deals?
Well, in the MKZ drew with a 14-speaker Revel audio system. Anything
that
sounds
looks
great.
Like, futuristic, wow. Beautiful stuff.
Maybe they have AM stereo.
Of
Actually,
course they do.
AM stereo is in the receiver. That was what was funny about the stations having it was they could put it out in AM stereo, but if people didn't have the receiver,
nobody
it didn't make
it.
Any difference.
Just like laser disc.
Right.
Nobody had them.
laser discs.
Are those stupid things?
Yes, I know.
But I'm looking for a new MKZ, and so I went to Hoot Mac and Ernie's, Star Lincoln in Southfield. They are Michigan's premier Lincoln dealership. The owner, Jim, and his son, Ryan, they're big podcast listeners. They listen every day. They don't need narcs to tell them what's being talked about on the show because
sweet,
they're hardcore listeners. Lincoln is the star of American luxury cars.
That hurts a little.
And that's why the late Hoot McInerney gave it that name.
I knew Hoot.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was a good guy.
Oh, Hoot's a legend in Detroit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He was, I think, I'm going to say he was running the dealership till he was, wasn't he in his late 80s or 90 or something?
Yeah. So do the family a solid.
Very charitable guy.
Go to Star Lincoln. Check out the Navigator, too. It's the 2018 North American Truck of the Year. The podcast and the McInerneys, they make it easy for you. All you got to do to get into a 2018 Lincoln is call our personal sales rep, their version of Tom. It's Jimmy D. Call Jimmy toll-free.
Jimmy D.
855-567-STAR.
Jimmy Devilano reduced to selling cars after his success with the Red Wings.
Just passed away recently.
855-567-STAR. Or did he? Maybe he's selling Lincolns.
Wait, who's the, isn't the, who's the guy that had the little kid that was a movie? It was Ronald Flores' story. Jimmy, wasn't that Jimmy? Butzakaris.
Who are you?
Yeah. He owned the bar.
Was that Jimmy B?
Yeah. Then he owned the Lindell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, where Bosworth and Billy Martin got into it.
Yeah, sure.
But
that
was not Jimmy D from Star Lincoln.
That was Jimmy B.
Do not confuse them. Equally as exciting, though. He's going to take personal care of you. All the podcast listeners, you'll get the guaranteed lowest price Lincoln will allow on whatever model you choose. They're going to throw in Drew and Mike swag. So drive the star. Call Jimmy D.
Did they buy it?
At 85. Yes, they did. Did you?
I know Steve Gabbard did.
I know if we're out at an event
really?
In
How did he
Jimmy,
pay?
I don't know, but he paid a lot. I'll give it out to select customers.
Really? Select? Well,
yeah.
Lincoln's going to give it out to every
That's
customer.
That's good.
Well, see. I wish everyone could see this.
It was a little salty, huh?
Yeah. I'm glad Mark stiffed me all these months, not buying a car for me. Now we can go buy it from Star.
Oh,
well, my Lincoln is up at the end of June.
I'm happy for you.
Why are you so? I have a
very happy for you.
I have an edge.
That's good.
So I'm getting a Lincoln.
That's good.
Oh, salty. Boy, jeez.
If you want to rub salt in Tom's wound, call Jimmy D 855-567-STAR 855-567-STAR.
Jimmy D. He's got his own phone
number.
Jimmy
D does not make everything all about him either.
Something Jimmy B did not have, his own 1-855 number. What are you doing, Maz?
I'm getting the rest of this cheese.
A little salty.
If you didn't notice, the food arrived right around the time Keith Gave was on the phone, and oh, was that distracting.
I know. The only time real plates come down here is when Tom's here.
I know.
Joey set the table tonight.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
But Maz did a great job of delegating because all the food was on the chair and Maz pointed at the chair and looked at me.
You know what I wanted to get?
Bring it to him.
You know what I was afraid? Here's what I was afraid to. I really wanted to ask Kennedy or Joey, hey, can you grab me a soda? I miss Brandon going up the steps. But if I asked them, then you would tell me that why you're making people do stuff for
pepperoni
me.
In New York.
Is that your way of asking right now?
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's different to ask. It's another. So.
Thanks, Joe. If there's a regular Coke... Let's get that.
That
if
man.
Not, I'll take whatever.
Brandon McAfee with the translation.
Reminds me, this poop is brought to you by Antonio's Pizzeria.
Are you guys watching, what's his name?
Rockmire. I'm way behind.
I want to see it. I have to start over.
People are raving about it.
It's good.
Now, what's her name's not in it this year?
Amanda Peet?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, she's not in it.
Is that a deal breaker for
did
you?
Did you see The Bachelor last night,
Brandon? I'll look for another nude woman. That's fine.
No, I did not. I only got to catch like this brief period where that hot guy was nude the whole time.
What?
The hot model?
The guy who thinks he's the hot model.
Why was he nude?
Well, wasn't he walking around in the nude or something?
Oh, he's a nudist?
I didn't see it.
Is this just a dream you had?
I swear to God, I didn't. I only caught a brief period where they were yelling at him for
being... Was he as hilarious as the first week?
Yeah, it looked like that they were, you know, giving him the business, and he was being himself. Wait. He's one of those guys, I think, that Kennedy nailed it right on the head. He's one of those guys they pay to keep there. Like, he's not even a legit dude.
Yeah, she's not allowed to eliminate him the first few weeks. Yeah. I don't know. I think those guys are real. I just think they really strongly suggest that, can you please keep this guy?
Where's the nude guy? Why is this?
I didn't watch it. I really didn't.
What time did you catch it?
This is 2.5 hours.
Gross.
I have no idea.
Are you kidding me?
No, did you add a half hour, Drew, when you recorded it?
I don't think so.
Drew, did you ever call my guy that bought a car from us? Used to be the... On the reality show?
I did not.
What was that show called?
I wasn't exactly sure what to call him about.
About reality TV?
He was on Van...
Yeah, Van. What's her name?
Mark Vanderpump. Vanderpump Rules. Yeah.
Yeah, he was the boyfriend.
But he was on probably 4 seasons ago, maybe.
Okay, I just figured... Maybe.
I wasn't knocking it. I'm not knocking it, but I just wasn't sure.
I figured if you wanted to know if it was real, you could ask a guy that was on a reality TV show.
Are you pushing the interview?
No, I'm just asking if you went to him. He's a really obvious listens to the show all the time.
No, I know, and I'm glad. And I did actually watch a portion of an episode he was on. I was very confused because it was...
I've never watched it, so I can't tell you.
I got to tell you, speeding through The Bachelorette, all I'm seeing is some hot interracial making out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then it looked like there was
an iPad. Audio. Let's see some interracial action.
Yeah.
That you gave me. I'm like, he is so, so sweet and so attentive. That. You just make me feel really good and special.
Thank you. I mean, when there's one woman in my life, that's how I like to make them feel.
There's a lot of black guys on this. She must have requested them.
Smile.
Of course she did.
But the only thing nicer than your smile?
You think she filled out an app for them?
They look very soft.
This guy's wiener is, you know, huge, right?
You look great as always, you post-racial power couple.
The first time I saw Becca and I looked into her eyes, I just felt myself just having butterflies. And that first kiss felt
talking about?
We truly had a moment, and I truly feel that's
how
he was
grabbing
her
tits.
Should feel like. So I'm feeling really good about this.
That's an amazing kiss. That was a great kiss. That was
what's this guy do, Brandon?
I don't know.
I really
don't know.
I'm
sorry.
Stretch.
In the picture with Becca, but I wouldn't go and do that.
Oh, is that the model?
I think it was unnecessary for Lincoln to put the picture on the table. I understand that Connor was unhappy about it. I don't think any of us were happy about seeing Becca and Lincoln's picture up there on the table, but there's definitely better ways to handle it.
Picture of what?
That's what was floating in the pool.
Hi. How's it going?
Okay, do you have a second?
Yeah. What's up?
Picture of what was floating in the pool?
You need a picture?
Yeah.
Why, what happened?
Uh-oh.
Connor grabbed the photo you gave me and smashes it and throws it in the pool.
Oh, no.
There's a broken glass.
Why?
He didn't like that I had the picture.
Because he was telling us that you won the competition or what?
It's a beaver shot or something?
I hope he has an explanation for it.
Oh, Lord.
It's unfortunate that he had to run to Becca and, you know, maybe blow it out of proportion. Because I don't think that's the most gentleman way to handle that. I feel
gentleman way?
Physically, because a guy who's that aggressive, I was going
to... You haven't talked to him?
What's he saying? It shows you that he has no respect for you, obviously. He knows you get that.
Oh, this guy's a rabble rouser, this dude.
He's trying to get... I don't know what he wants.
You see him in the preview,
Brandon? It does seem very aggressive.
I don't like his British accent.
I will talk to him right
fake.
Now.
Okay. It's racist, Tom.
We'll people get really out. Pissed at this guy as this wears on.
What's that? They get pissed at
this black guy on the stairs is a big troublemaker, according to the other bachelor.
Well, was it his picture that was thrown in the pool?
It was her picture.
Oh.
She gave it to him, and he was bragging about it, and somebody got...
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Somebody got huffy.
Of reaction to have.
Drew, can you put this empty box over here? Stock around.
Why don't we get Paul to do it from the podcast?
We can. Paul.
All right, you said in about an hour, Brandon?
I really don't know. I didn't watch it.
But you did say
Brandon, stop acting like you're not the expert.
Oh, Kennedy
on the
watched
show.
It.
Oh, Kennedy.
Oh, where's the male model at? Was he nude? And would
was
you?
It, was there nudity?
Was he nude or no?
He's in his underwear show her that. He is more than just a model. He wanted to show her
by being in his underwear.
Yes, he wanted to show her like his personality by being just in his boxers. That was his thought process.
Boxer briefs or regular?
Did
boxer?
You understand the thought process?
No, not at all. No one in the house followed it either. They get pretty pissed. So
did you see the outline of his dong?
My friends and I all watch it together, and we have a group chat, and we text about it. We're like, oh, he sucks. Like, we all hate the male model.
Was that an inappropriate question by Mark?
What? She didn't hear it.
The outline of...
Oh. It must be pretty tiny. You don't see it.
Oh.
Okay,
she was looking.
No comment on the question. So everyone...
Am
so
I close?
What does your group feel?
You'll see it. He's nude for a long time.
Who's the leader? Who's your favorite at this point?
My favorite is the Venmo guy, but no one in my group chat agrees with me. I think John's adorable and he's super sweet, but everyone likes Colton, like the NFL player.
She's talking about the dude that created the Venmo app. He's a nerd, so he's obviously rich.
You like it because he's
rich? What's his first name?
Colton's first name?
No, the guy, the Venmo app guy.
John.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's a Venmo app?
You send money. Money to people.
That's like PayPal?
Yeah, it's
so that's
like
the
PayPal.
New PayPal, what I'm hearing about?
I think PayPal actually bought Venmo.
Okay, good.
Like,
I like PayPal.
This guy's totally loaded.
Oh, yeah. He's super cute and rich. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Well.
Okay, cool.
Right, here's the male model, dude. On the edge of my seat here.
How you doing?
How are you?
The male model, Kennedy
good.
Alleges,
good.
Is being,
cold right now.
They're being paid to keep him on.
I see you, too.
Okay.
Yes.
Jeez, bro. I saw
Jeez.
We have a naked male model.
Why does Jordan have his meat out right now?
He's a great smuggler. Jordan is a male model, and he's showing a little side of him. But
yeah, that's him that always underwears.
And it's so amazing that you are still humble, and I think that we can.
Oh my God.
Hey, I know you. Ha, ha.
Jordan interrupted me with Becca wearing absolutely nothing or whatever he was wearing.
Period.
How dare you? I think that Jordan is being completely disrespectful. I'm sure that's not what Becca wanted to see, and that's certainly not what I wanted to see.
Wait, it's not about you, first of all. And why wouldn't Becca want to see a nude guy?
I don't want to see your wiener.
What's he talking about?
Isn't it a little out of left field? Everyone's wearing a suit, and this guy's walking around in a
Speedo. Well, yeah, but what's this guy's sour grapes about?
Well, it is worth noting that the dude complaining is the same dude that wore the chicken suit.
Look, if we're going to have sex, that's all it is. Period.
What a player.
I mean,
don't wear that outfit again.
I want to see that guy in The Bachelor.
Oh, God, he'd be great. I mean, he'd win every episode.
Wouldn't pick anyone.
Some guy that's
you like that guy that picked nobody? Remember that guy?
Okay.
There's a lot to me. I'm really wild, very spontaneous. I like to speed.
I like to speed.
Life on the edge. Okay. As a gentleman, my hair is always going to be pretty well kept. But, I like to have fun.
I did not expect this when I heard someone walking up.
I had to tap you on the shoulder and get you away from the chicken. So. I'm disappointed in him. I'm disappointed that I didn't get to spend more time with
chicken fucker.
But, why is he here? Like, that makes me question why.
He's here for the wrong reasons.
I just want to come here and be me. And talk about
having a little chicken.
Like I could call him possibly Jordy, just an old junior.
Okay.
Right here, ice cream cone, G-Wagon, and some tunes on, yeah. So there's a lot to me, and
the fuck is he talking about?
I'm very comfortable with my skin, so it's a.
I kind of get that from you.
I think so. We're all here looking for love, and I question, is he here for the right reasons? I don't think he is. Oh, there he is!
Oh my God.
Jordan, you still have your shoes on. I know.
What a
I'm
good
multi-dimensional,
one.
And I'm not just some guy with hair, so. Hey, we're here for a cocktail party and a rose ceremony, and he's here for a swimsuit photo shoot.
Show me Penson.
How dare you?
Yes.
Yeah, show us Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood.
He's a man of many faces.
He's actually a funny guy.
I need to talk to him.
He's like a funny guy.
To confront him about it. Do you think that there's a level of disrespect in showing up to a cocktail party in boxers?
Ooh.
Great guy.
I don't think
Relax.
Do you think that was respectful to Becca? It was very comparable to swimwear.
He's a beautiful man.
It had to do with what I was going to say to her on that couch. Do you think it was respectful to me? I just told you, I don't think it was disrespectful. I'm not the first person to interrupt someone on a one-on-one. I understand I'm the first person to walk around in briefs. I think there's a level of disrespect there.
What are you talking about? Who cares?
The time for your fun and, the playful nature. I was a chicken. He's just... sits down across from me, does his chicken bok, and I don't know how to take it. Are you more than a model? Is there any more to it's a serious question. Are you more than a human being? I'm confused. And all you talked about on today was that's model. Not all we, are you more that's than not all we talked about at all. He's calling me out for trying to get attention. I wore my underwear, bro. That's not me trying to get attention.
So you don't think there's any foul play here?
You know? You can try to call me out all you want. I'm a nice guy, and you don't know much about me, and I don't really care to try to validate myself to you.
That's what do you want to do,
huh? I don't have much more to say.
I honestly don't know who's worse in this situation.
There's no doubt.
You better shut your mouth before I shut it for you.
There's right and wrong in life, right? Do you agree? Right and wrong. There's no gray area there. There's right and wrong.
Well, he sure is no wrong.
Is he really that offended because this guy wears undies? And disrespected the Bachelorette.
I don't know. He's jealous, that's all.
I think I would probably let it go.
Yeah.
I respect him, and I admire everything that he does.
He was interrupted. That was a little awkward. Okay. I think I better watch this tonight.
Can we talk about my restaurant now at St. Clair Shores?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Capone's?
Yeah, Capone's.
How about you, sweetheart?
There was
a terrible story.
Yeah, there was a fight there. And
today? Yesterday?
Wednesday, 6:40.
Two guys were going at it. They're fighting over a very small amount of money, was my understanding. Isn't that about right? Something about
$30
or something? It was, yeah, $30, something like that. And a third guy entered into the fray, and someone's up punching one of the guys who falls back and hits his head on the door handle, I think, and died.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It was put in a coma and then died Saturday.
Does it bother you more because it was close to you and you've been there?
Yeah, it does.
It could have been you, Tom.
It could have been a guy I know. What's the guy's name?
Well, you saw him on TV. Eric. Did you know any of those guys on TV? Because it was one of those three guys. Wow. Should we go through the story, see if Maz knows anyone?
I'd love to see the story. See if I know the police and the ambulance guys.
No, it might give you some additional color on the story.
I just want to tell you I know them.
You might be able to add something.
Okay, let's just assume you know them all.
Okay, that's fine. I probably do.
I mean, that's the whole story right there.
That I know them?
And the moral of the story
is... Maz, there's the guy that punched him, and on the right is the guy that was in the fight that didn't die.
Yeah.
So who died?
The third guy, let's see.
Eric Heisel.
Eric Heisel?
Yeah, Hysell, 57.
Ugh, that sucks.
Do you know him?
No.
Did you know the other two guys?
No. What's okay. Eric Heisel look like?
It appears that you know no one.
Maybe
in the story.
I bowled with these guys. I mean, sometimes you bowl with a guy. Yeah, really
that's
know
a guy that.
That's Eric. He passed away.
Yes, he did. I know. Yep.
He got punched.
He didn't look 57 in that picture either. That's as serious as you shall have thought. Sorry.
Man, he looks very familiar.
He's showing the police so he can prove that Tom doesn't know anyone in the story at all.
But the most important thing in this whole story is that Tom has been to that place.
Yes. They have great lamb chops, by the way.
What would a lamb chop entree cost me?
It's an appetizer. You get a couple for like $8.
I can't get it as an entree?
You might be able to order it. Get a double order.
I'd have to go off the charts.
Get a double order. Get a double order.
You've been known to do
that? My daughter Maddie could just mow through them. She loves lamb chops.
On bone?
No, I'm talking about like they're, what do you call them?
A kebab?
They're not kebabs. They're not kebabs.
Shank?
No, they are... What's the expensive lamb? It's just on the end. The little
chop
lamb.
On a bone.
What the hell are you talking about?
Lamb chop. It's called something else. Hero meat. No, it's not hero meat.
I don't know. I don't know my cuts Maz, of lamb.
Have you ever? How often do you order two appetizers?
Oh, a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
It's very Miss Cabbage of you.
Oh, yeah. Like tonight, let's say if I was hungry and I'm not because I ate all this great pizza.
Yeah.
I would probably meet Frankie at B-Dubs and have some appetizers.
But wait, don't you have a family to get home to?
I do. I'm going home to my family. Another
day. No entree?
No.
Just appetizers?
If I go after 9, I'll just have the appetizers.
How many appetizers maximum?
We'll order like maybe 3 or maybe 4. Okay. But they're not that big.
Where's Sammy and your mom?
They just left today.
They did.
They made it home to Jersey City.
Did you get them to the airport? Did you have to delegate that to Kathy's mom?
Hi, Mommy.
Grandma took them. Yes.
Grandma. Yeah. Not Kathy's mom.
Yeah, Kathy's mom. After they left?
No, we didn't clean the house. I'm sure the girls, it's not really dirty.
Messing it up.
It's not messy.
They're messing it up for you to clean up again.
No, I think everything went well. My dad was a nervous wreck again, getting ready to go to the airport.
What's he most nervous about besides the window being open?
I think he's just nervous about everything in general. I think my mother and him, they coexist literally by just, getting on each other's nerves.
What's he doing up there?
They're like the Costanzas. They really, truly are.
What was the most fervent fight they had while they were at your house?
My father will say anything. My mother will contradict them. But like my dad, my sisters will say, hey, Dad's got a cold today. Mina, he doesn't have a cold.
What? Your mom says that?
He doesn't have a cold. Or he'll say to me, you know, my throat hurts a little. You don't have a sore throat. I mean, it's
don't feel good.
That sounds like my mom when I told her that. I asked her, do you ever lose power? This is in Illinois. And she said, oh, no, we didn't lose power. You know, maybe there was an ice storm once or something. I don't think so. And I don't even think we lost power. And I said, oh, because we lose power all the time. She said, no, you don't.
That's it. That's perfect.
What do you mean?
How does she know? Right?
No, she doesn't know.
Exactly.
You're not going to believe this. So we have audio from their visit to Tom's house.
We do?
I think that's just what it's day like. Was I'm it? Taking no responsibility.
What day was it, Mark?
It just says argument from Tom's
house. Okay.
Wow.
I mean, let's not do it this way tonight.
Hey, Mom, it's good this way.
I know, but I want to see your face.
Oh, no. I don't like that way.
Mammy. You don't like to do it face to face?
No, I don't like that way.
Mark.
I don't like to see the face.
That's crazy.
Look, you can get a doggy style, you can get Ling on your side. Those are your only choices. It's my house and I get to say.
Got it?
Sure.
I apologize. It wasn't from your house. Okay, it was from their house before they came.
Right, sounds like a pretty one. Sounds like a pretty one-sided argument.
You sure?
Hi, Mommy.
Yeah, boy.
Okay.
God help me.
It clearly was not.
Before the night's over, I do have show and tell. Remember last week?
You owed me one? Yeah, show and tell. Okay.
Oh, is it the same one?
Yes.
As last week? Yes. You already told. Didn't you tell so? You told Zoobs what it is.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
Mm.
Oh.
I was going to mention. Maybe it's not worth mentioning.
Oh, wait. Before you mention something.
Okay, go ahead.
Don't forget who directs Tuesdays.
All my notes are under the pizza boxes, by the way.
Yeah, let me lift them up for you.
Thanks, Tom.
You're welcome.
Sit it on the ground for the dogs. Ahead.
Grab your notes. I'll put it back down. This is the story I sent you earlier via Twitter, but then Brandon came back with it on the notes. The woman in Minnesota who died and her family wrote the obituary, we're better off without her type thing. Well, did you see that story?
It was great.
I just saw it briefly before the show. Yeah. What the fuck is that?
Don't be an asshole while you're alive.
Here it is.
Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day. Gone one night. Gone too soon.
Sorry you died.
That was basically it.
Why would you take out an obituary just to do that?
Oh, you gotta let people know that.
If we like sure to read it. We're sure it's not a joke?
Yeah, let people know that she died.
It's not a joke.
Okay. Kathleen Demlow, Shunk, parentheses, is our maiden name, I guess?
Yeah.
Was born March 19, 1938, to Joseph and Gertrude Shunk of Wabasso. She married Dennis Demlow at St. Anne's in Wabasso in 1957, had two children, Gina and Jay. In 62, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle Demlow, and moved to California. What?
Mm-hmm. This is what they wrote.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
That's brutal. Wait, why
did
can't
you
I get...
bang my wife?
You keep going down the page, you'll see it.
I can't get the whole thing.
Yeah, let me see.
There it is. Okay. She abandoned her children, Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents in Clements, Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Shunk. She passed away May 31, 2018 in Springfield, will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a better place without her.
Oh,
those are her kids.
Wow, so she got nailed by the brother and just left with him.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Wow. Must have nailed her good.
How about that?
Jeez.
We haven't even talked about the big story of the day.
Which one?
That David Hogg.
Yeah.
Was swatted, which swatting is where people call in a, you know, like an active shooter in a house and the SWAT team shows up.
I think did it come up when you guys were playing with the, when you guys were playing with the sound over there?
Oh, was it?
I'm not charging anybody, but did that come up briefly?
It could have been.
Did you mention the worst thing about the story?
No.
That David Hogg was not at home at the time?
He wasn't.
Do you know why he was not at home at the time?
Wait, let me guess. He was on his 75-city tour registering people to vote?
No.
Where was he?
He was doing a speech.
He's in Washington, D.C. to accept the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award.
I'm fucking 17.
He's accepting an award.
On Bobby Kennedy's anniversary of his death.
I feel like we always have to put this disclaimer out there.
Is he ever home?
We put this disclaimer out there. We agree with a lot of the stuff he's saying.
I do. No,
what has he accomplished to get a human rights award? Even if he organized the first march, let's say he did it all by himself, what has he done to get a human rights award?
Hey, if you're out there, fuck you.
I don't know. I think he's a name that draws attention now and
a little loose
started
with
a conversation.
It's exciting to honor a kid too. He's grown up for his age.
It says more.
I'm just saying that. I'm not saying I agree with it.
I think you're right. I think it says more about the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Award wanting publicity by giving David Hogg an award.
No more.
Well, when what's Bruce Jenner's name now?
Caitlyn.
Caitlyn. When Caitlyn Jenner got the Courage Award.
Yeah, from the ESPYs.
Yeah, no. Well, who else are you giving it to that year anyway?
Being Bruce isn't easy.
No, they had a candidate. I remember there being...
Was that the one, the girl who played basketball?
Was Caitlyn Jenner still in active sporting? I mean, it just seemed like...
No, pretty ballsy, though. I mean, no pun intended.
No balls now.
I'm not trying to take anything away from Caitlyn, but it just, I don't know, it just seemed like very cliche to me.
Yeah.
At the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hogg's getting his awards, so that's cool.
Yeah, good for him. Well, how'd the swatting go? Did his parents know what was going on?
Well, I don't think anybody was home.
Yeah. By the way, why are people able to swat people so easily and not get caught?
Well, a lot of them do get caught. But
and why do people do... Because I'm watching Investigation ID a lot, the cable station, which is all true crime. And I swear to God, every single murder is solved. They just get your cell phone and it's over. Case closed. Done. If they can get your phone.
Yeah.
Or your home computer.
Oh, I just started getting a clue.
Look how good Vanna looks tonight.
Oh my God. Maz, do we have to turn off the television?
Yes.
Turn off that television.
Like, you know, I just want to
ruin it for everybody.
Those are dangerous as hell, though, because the guy just died. The young man, I think he was like a 29 or 32 year old or something like that. He had a couple young kids. He got swatted and he got shot. Actually, I don't even know.
And they're blaming the cops for it. It's the cops' fault. So now the cops are in deep shit.
And he died. So a lot of people are saying they could have killed David Hogg.
Well, don't want him to be killed. Do you want to get put on Fox 2 at 10:30 last night?
I turned the TV off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you can turn it off after the story. Trey Songz, fabulous singer.
From Detroit.
Yeah, who got in a fight with cops because they turned the stage, the music off.
Last year, right?
Yeah, and so he punched a cop. And anyway, he, of course, till the bitter end, he said it was racism. And then he ended up pleading it down. In fact, he got almost nothing. He got probation. He also has, by the way, beat up a woman who was his girlfriend for talking to a guy at a backstage thing, and she's suing him, and she also said she was most angry at his people, his entourage, because she said none of them pulled him off. They just watched him beat her up.
Wow. By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
And then she says that he hits women all the time, but the only other story is that at a strip club appearance, which is kind of interesting, he makes strip club appearances, someone was trying to take his picture, and he said he was done, and he swatted the phone out of her hand, and she made a police report, too. So this guy is a first-class asshole. Yeah. I have no idea.
I'd slap you.
I guess he's a big star. But it's really funny when this happens, when someone that you're not really rooting for, you start rooting for them because they're on the other side of someone that you're also not rooting for.
Happens all the time.
In this case, it would be attorney Mike Morse, who is taking on Trey Songz because he says the officer... And the photographer in the crowd, he threw the mic stand into the crowd and it hit a photographer in the head. Yeah. So Mike Morse is representing the photographer and the police officer that he hit. So check this out, how concerned
Mike wins.
Mike Morse is the only person as concerned as I am.
He's hoping to get justice.
You guys got a lot in common.
Here's Fox 2's Rupe Rosch.
They say they're going to cut my mic off because I'm taking too much time. But just to cut me off, I'm going crazy, you understand?
Singer Trey Songz probably thought this moment captured on cell phone video was behind him.
Pull some
December 28,
down.
2016, Joe Louis Arena. Time was up. The concert was supposed to come to a close, but Songz wasn't having it. The tirade caught on video.
Cool.
Equipment, including a microphone stand thrown into the crowd. This man, Andrew Potter, was hit. He was hired as a freelance photographer working the concert that night.
He was just doing his job, and he turned around and he got a microphone stand in the back of his head.
Oh my God.
It knocked him to the ground, and he suffered injuries, and he's dealing with those today.
Songz, also known as Tremaine Neverson, is now being sued in federal court. Attorney Michael Morris taking on the case for Potter and also for Robert Avery. He's the Detroit police sergeant who was sent in to arrest Songz. When he tried, Morse says, things got violent.
My client, Sergeant Avery, went in to arrest him, and he sucker punched him in the face. My client went down, hit the ground real hard on concrete, suffered injuries not only to his brain but to his hip. He had to have hip surgery because of this.
The charges? Assault and battery, and another count citing emotional distress. For Sergeant Avery, a 22-year veteran on the force, his whole life has changed.
That sergeant, his injuries were pretty bad. How bad?
We just found out by one of his doctors that they are not releasing him back to work, which is devastating for him, his wife, his kids. He loved being a police officer. He did not want this to happen.
This guy is my
he was lawyer. Just doing his job that night, and it's really a horrible result.
The amount they're seeking still up in the air. Neverson had reached a plea deal in 2017, which included 18 months of probation. Now he's being slapped with this civil suit.
If you go back and read some of Mr. Neverson's tweets and his Instagram, you know, there's a lot of talk about inequality and justice and the police. Yeah. And what he did to my clients that night just really wasn't fair.
Now, Potter and Avery, the two victims in this
case. Yeah, he's big on the cops who have to beat up and kill black people. And, you know, he sucker punches a white cop and calls a bunch of names, and that's okay. And then he beats up a woman. Well, two women that we know of, although it sounds like there may be a lot more.
He sounds like a really good dude.
This one girlfriend of his had a press conference, and she was, I think it was about 6 months ago. Anyway, she's really having a hard time even getting it out. She was very upset. I suddenly felt like Michael Jackson. I said, what upset she was.
That's very mean.
But she was very upset. He was mean to her. Oh. He hit her. She was on the ground, and he hit her some more, and his friends didn't do anything to help her.
Ooh.
So, and this girl at the strip club, I don't know, it just sounds so stupid. Like, why would he knock her cell phone out of her hand? Don't take my picture, bitch. My appearance at the strip club is over. Whatever. Wouldn't you think that based on the fact that, first of all, why would they plea this down? He sucker punches.
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
He sucker punches a cop and throws a mic stand into the crowd. Yeah. Wouldn't you think they would charge him with something? And when you're on probation and you beat up a chick.
They did.
Well, they did, but they.
Thanks to the lame ass security, I'm going home.
They pleaded down, though. He was claiming that he was going to sue them for racism and for all the whatever. I don't know.
Cool.
But at the last minute, they made a plea agreement. I think they thought the cops were going to drop it, and they didn't. And so now this is the civil case.
Sounded like a nice concert to go to. Jeez.
Seems like it'd be nice if him beating up this girl backstage, if maybe that would end his probation, because it doesn't seem like probation just never. Isn't it really
just disappears?
Yeah, it just goes away. Poof. Unless you're
I'd love
milk.
To have a voice like that. What a voice.
So anyway.
See ya.
What a prick. And his name isn't Songs, by the way.
It's not with a Z.
I know, isn't that shocking?
I'm blown away.
And then this story was out of left field. I didn't even know that the Visteon CIO had been asked to leave the company. He was very successful with Visteon. They made acquisitions, and their stock price went up from $27 to $106. And
seemed to do very, very well.
But then all of a sudden, in 2015, the board at Visteon started demanding that he leave the company. At the time, he said, no, I'm going to stay CEO. And they said, no, you're fired. 2 days later, he resigned. Left unclear was how much severance he would get. He wanted $61 million.
Oh,
61 million. Yeah.
Well, he raised the stock price a lot.
He's fired!
In October 2015, Visteon board members cited 5 grounds to fire him with cause. The reasons the company gave, and this could have been easy because they were killing it. The stock price was, more than 4 times it had gone up. But they said he was spending significant time away from headquarters, operating 2 other companies, and engaging in talks about a sale of Visteon's electronics division without board involvement and obtaining reimbursement for a family trip to Israel.
Wow.
So, in February 2016, he demanded arbitration as permitted under his employment contract. He sought $61 million in equity awards, retirement payments, severance, other benefits. Visteon kept digging in, sued him in an unsuccessful attempt to block the arbitration. In May of 2016, Visteon advised him that there were additional grounds for termination, referenced pornography and prostitution allegations after searching his electronic devices.
They should have done that.
The arbitrator concluded that the original five reasons were insufficient to justify him with cause, but there was legitimate cause for his termination based on his downloading porn onto company computers.
It must have been a lot of porn.
Posting obscene messages and pictures on social media, storing obscene photographs on company devices, viewing websites concerning prostitution and soliciting prostitutes.
Wow. Out of all those, does anything stand out as odd? More odd than the others?
Storing photographs?
I was going to say posting obscene messages and pictures on social media.
I figured that was Twitter.
I think you'd stay away from that.
Yeah, that's
obscene messages, though? You're the president of Visteon?
Well, he probably had a burner account like Brian Colangelo.
When you're buying whores all the time, it probably doesn't seem like such a big deal.
Yeah, maybe not.
Pornhub.
But it just seems that would easily be tracked back to him.
Yeah, it doesn't seem advisable.
Doesn't clearing your browser out work?
Yeah.
Doesn't cleaning your history out work?
Yeah. I've quadrupled the stock price. I'm bulletproof.
Who needs to store porn on the computer?
But I erased it.
Visteon officials wanted the public to see the porn images. That's nice of them. And fought to have the pictures unsealed in federal court. They just want to embarrass them. Such material, however, is not relevant to the issue.
That's funny you say that. Wasn't it really solely to embarrass him?
Oh, absolutely.
Because they already gave the stockholders.
They figure he'll cave in on the amount if everybody gets to see what creepy porn he's looking at.
But I was shocked by the judge's decision.
The arbitrator concluded the porn alone provided justification for a termination for cause. It's also important to note, while no specific damage to Visteon has been offered into evidence, it's clear this type of conduct would and could rise to a material violation of Visteon's rules, regulations, policies, blah, blah, blah. He claimed the offended material appeared on his work devices after syncing the electronics with his home computer.
Fake! Bullshit.
This claim is not credible, the arbitrator wrote. CEO of a major stock exchange company has a high moral standard to uphold, and this conduct was inconsistent with the standard as well as written policies of Visteon. The allegation should concern shareholders, said Naveen Khanna, chairman of the finance department of Michigan State. If I was a stockholder, I'd probably be upset at the board. I'd like to know why he was fired. Was he not performing according to the contract? Was his business judgment not very good as a stockholder? That would be my major concern.
Thanks for adding nothing to the story.
Social media activity and the consequences of such behavior have now become much more material than they were before.
I have a porn question.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I have a question about porn. Now,
ex-hamster?
Now,
Pornhub.
Exactly. What he has is a phone, a cellular device that he doesn't pay for because it's a work phone. A lot of people have work phones.
Well, pretty dumb to be doing that on your company phone.
But everybody has, like, a lot of people have a phone that's from their work, and they just consider it their phone.
Yeah, be careful.
When you
wouldn't the
Kwame
Kilpatrick case have taught everyone
that's dumber because that's government, so it's a little easier for the media to get it.
Then there's a lot of people out there that are illegally looking at porn at work if they're using their work phone.
They're going to have every right to look at it if they want a reason to fire you.
Porno.
We'll all be fired then.
Well, if you have...
You know what? Don't take your work phone.
Dog fart.
No, I wouldn't take phone.
Tell them you don't want a work phone.
Well, it's a nice benefit, but if you can't stop yourself from
looking at porn.
Well, not just looking at porn, but getting prostitutes or whatever else.
You need to take a break from pornography.
What else you're doing?
I have a feeling if it wasn't for all the other things, maybe they never would have known.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds like they had a pretty good
time
idea.
Time away something from company headquarters. I think
charging a family trip to Israel. By the way, a guy that has a severance coming of 16 million. He got 16 million. Do you really need to charge a trip to Israel?
We figured to get one last hurrah.
What the fuck is that?
One last hurrah.
No, but that was well before he was fired.
Well, he knew he was getting
fired. What helped get him fired.
Probably knew it.
Let's see. Not too smart.
Actually, you know what, Drew? He was reimbursed for the family trip.
Yeah.
He didn't even charge it on a company card.
No, it's amazing.
But I think the operating two other companies might have been an issue.
Yeah. No, all that stuff seemed outrageous to me.
Well, thank God he didn't get the $61 million. He only got $16
million. Brandon,
but he did raise the stock price.
Get the show and tell music.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Thanks, Drew.
What's going on with show and tell?
I got a little show and tell for you. Maybe a donation to the studio after
what?
Fake.
Not a Native American contribution, is it?
Another one?
You mean a take back? A Native American giving, you mean?
There was some debate over the megaphone. It seemed to go back and forth.
Where did the megaphone go, by the way?
It's here.
It's here.
I don't see it.
Well, look around. Open your eyes.
I don't see the shovel.
The broom. Megaphone's right back there. Okay, good. You've demonstrated the siren many times.
How about the broom?
The broom is now in a closet I like to call Maz's crap closet. I'm putting all the crap in there. I'm serious.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that.
Wait, where's the broken guitar?
Yeah, where is my
guitar? That I threw away because it was a broken guitar.
It was broken, Tommy.
What? It was... It's like a piece.
Why didn't you take it home?
It was in pieces.
Oh, my God. Wait till my daughters find out about it.
I'll tell them.
Thank God they don't listen.
Your dad left trash at the studio, so he threw it away.
Wasn't that thing in good shape, Joe?
No, the whole back of it was cracked.
You're out of here, trash.
I mean, it was just leaning on the ground. I mean, it looks like it belongs here in the studio. That's why I brought it.
Finders, keepers, losers, weavers.
It's me. I'm looking for the trash can.
I got sick of stepping over it every day, so I threw it away.
There's another piece of me you just throw away.
Good.
It's the way you look at me.
I'm really wondering what's in that bag.
What's in this bag?
What's in the box?
Is that a goal light?
It is a light that can attach to your...
It's a cherry.
You can attach it to your car.
What?
Now, let's here's the
it.
Kicker.
I can pull people over with
yeah,
that?
Right now, yeah, you
here's
can.
The kicker.
Put your cop pants on.
The problem is, if we want to plug it down here, we need an adapter for this. But this can go right into your car. And you can start
pulling
people over. I don't
think my car is a lighter, believe
yes,
it or not.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't? Who
yes, does? It
does? Are you sure?
Yes, it does.
I swear to God, I think I've had two cars that do not even have lighters
you
anymore.
You have a lighter in yours.
You sure?
Who gave this to you to bring in?
You probably don't have a lighter, but you have the outlet.
You have the outlet.
Okay.
This was given to us by Zot
given
Ford.
To us. Once again, Tom brings in a show and tell. That is not his.
It is mine.
Zot
Ford
because
it's been
on
my desk.
Do they put this on all new cars?
No.
When you make a sale, does it go off?
Is it that I used to send it off, yeah.
I have actual audio from Steve Guevara.
Wait. You used to send it off when you made a sale?
Exactly.
From your desk?
Yes.
How'd you plug it in?
It was there was an adapter. It went out to another car.
How do you celebrate a sale now?
Are you making this up?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have actual audio from Steve Guevara about 5 hours ago.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You're out of here, trash.
Let it be known, for once, Maz admitted he was lying.
Drew, this will attach to your car's roof. How cool is that?
How does it stay in the room? Is it magnetized?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Well, that's
God.
Exciting.
We got to go out and video it, right?
We have to go right now?
No, we don't have to go right now.
Oh, okay.
But this is a donation to the studio.
That's exciting.
Honestly, it's just an orange light, so there's no legal problems. You could drive around with that on all the time.
Yes, you can. Joey will figure a way to get this to work in electric.
Slow down.
What happens if I have the light on the top of my car?
Nothing.
Are there no legal issues?
Orange?
Will people yield to me?
I think so.
They'll think they're going to think you're there to help.
Oh.
That could be even worse.
That's not good. Because then when I don't help, they might take notice of me.
Un-American.
They could.
But if I'm in a really big hurry, like I'm getting to a concert and I'm late, that'd be great to have.
We want to help people.
Just flash your brights while
I don't
it's
think
going
the police will care either. Like if you're going around them,
you don't mind?
No, I don't think
okay. As long as you have that light.
Exactly.
Well, that is exciting.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that a great show and tell?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Not you, the people that gave it to you to bring it. Thanks, Steve.
Well, it was my idea.
Thanks for your show and tell, Guevara.
Okay, Brandon.
Why you got to axe the grind with me, Mark?
Huh? Because I love you.
Why'd you tune that down when we could have called Paul from the Sports Casting Couch podcast?
That was the Hall Financial Hotline being shut down.
That's it now. We'll have to do it another time now.
What, for Paul to tell us who he thought should have sent the shirt?
Exactly.
I feel like there's a setup going on.
No setup. How can I prove that there's no setup?
I want a t-shirt.
He wrote me because he saw us. He saw. I will.
Oh,
he saw us.
He wrote you.
Yeah, he wrote me on Facebook Messenger. Uh-huh.
Is he
so that's enjoying? Interesting. You're also on Facebook Messenger during the show, text, email.
Well, I
Twitter,
saw something.
And Facebook Messenger.
I saw. Well, Mark, you're on the computer. You're doing things.
Yeah, I'm not on four social media.
Yeah, you are. You're learning to do. You know, you're doing show. You're seeing what's happening on the show. You're researching.
I have a browser open and I have the drive.
This is my computer. That's what this is.
I'm not
communicating with people on four different programs.
It's okay.
This is just a fight between two men of different races fighting each other to decide which race is superior.
Nope, that sounds wrong.
Drew, I got bad news.
What?
Dion's representative never called back.
What?
Yep.
Thank God.
You called him 20 complete minutes before the show.
I did.
Can't believe that. At least 20 minutes.
At least.
But honestly.
I can't believe Dion stiffed
us. How much time does Dion need?
20 minutes.
Yeah.
He's in California, for crying out loud. It's 3 hours difference.
He's got nothing going on. He's probably in the shitter.
He did do The Wanderer, Teenager in Love, Runaround Sue, Abraham, Martin, and John. He had a number four hit 50 years ago this week.
I know.
Man, did you ever look up what three songs were ahead of him?
No, I couldn't find it. I did find, I heard it through the grapevine, was number one.
What? And they didn't have two.
Ran on December 14th of 68. That's the date we're looking for. December 14th of 68. When I searched it, I could not find it.
Okay, wait. Billboard, if you ask for Billboard Top, is that what you asked for?
Yeah, top 10.
Billboard.
December 14th.
Maybe they want the Billboard Top 100 or 200 or 40?
I just wrote Billboard. 40. 12, 14, 68.
December.
The 11th.
December 12th, wasn't it? Or 14th. December 14th.
Well, it's got Dion up on his
I heard it through the grapevine, Marvin Gaye.
Jeez. Right, that was number one. It was 2, 3.
Where's Flesh Phelps when you need him?
I know. I told him I'd call him.
Oh. Love Child, Diana Ross. Oh, good For song. Once in My Life, Stevie Wonder.
Ooh, Motown, dominating.
Whoa.
And then number four, Abraham, Martin, and John.
Damn. Anybody here?
Now, how'd you What's search five? That?
I just searched Billboard, December 14th, 1968.
That's what I wrote. I wrote 12, 14, 1968.
Apparently, your iPhone doesn't bring the same information
Obviously
as Brandon's.
Obviously not. I wanted to say Brandon.
It's really weird.
Brandon taught me something, though.
That's weird that his would bring the right information.
I know. Hey, look, you think I don't want to give you the information?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
What's number five, Brandon? What's the rest of the top ten?
Number five is Who's Making Love by Johnny Taylor.
That's another movie.
Number six is Hey Jude by some
Hey Jude.
Number seven.
On the way up to the top, by the way, for 9 weeks.
Of course.
Thanks to that boost from Tiny.
Well, I heard it from the grapevine was 4 weeks. 7 weeks. Whoa. 7 weeks.
Whoa. Number seven.
I am a lineman for the county.
Glenn Campbell. Really? Which time?
Your
lineman?
Call is important to us. Please cool. continue.
Tom was just
hold.
Left breathless
and
by that.
I drive love that. The main road.
Glenn Campbell. I love the Rhinestone Cowboy. Back to it.
Number eight, Stormy. Classics 4 featuring
Classics 4 IV Classics IV
Yes
Number 9 I Love How You Love Me Bobby Vinton
Ooh Purple
and
Roses
Number 10 Magic Carpet Ride
Steppenwolf Whoa
Great song
Alright
That's good
Get us out of here Brandon
Can we play one of those songs on the way out
Okay
How about I Am a Lineman For the County Can we play that
I don't want to leave you breathless
Love Glenn Campbell
Dennis Rodman has reported that there will be a meeting between Trump and Kim Jong-un that just came across.
Oh, Dennis Rodman has released that?
He is breaking the news.
Wow.
He is arriving. So, oh, my God. He is going to be there, too, on June 11th.
Oh, that's
He's
good.
Arriving
He's
in
a
Singapore.
Mediator.
He is going to be at the meeting.
I feel better already.
I'm renouncing my citizenship if he's at that meeting.
Dennis Rodman is going to be at a meeting between Kim Jong-un and President Trump.
Come on.
What the hell is
Knock
going on?
Knock it off.
I swear to God.
What, did Un tell him the date, and so he just spits it out to the media, doesn't wait for the White House to...
No, it's true. He's going to
he
be there.
Not
he's
not know.
Wrote the story.
Rodman will attend and help with negotiations. I'm
oh,
not,
get
I'm not
out of here.
Any of this up.
No. There's no way Trump would agree to that. Well, I don't know. Maybe he would.
No matter what you might think about his presence, one thing's for sure. The ratings will be huge. A source told the New York Post. He's going to be there. I hope to God Rodman is at the summit.
I guess that's so stupid. I think I'll go along with you on that. Yeah, I hope it's true.
Stupidity.
That's so dumb. I hope it's true.
Hey, can I wish a happy birthday to my brother-in-law, Dave?
I just did.
If Glenn doesn't bleep it, yeah.
And rest in peace, Bobby.
What? Oh, Bobby.
Yeah.
Oh. Is Dave Kathy's brother?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, buddy. We'll call him uncle.
We'll see what Phoebe.
That was for Bobby, not your brother-in-law.
Certainly.
Are you okay?
Shiny and sparkly and splendidly bright. Here one day, gone one night, gone too soon.